going. Boom, and we're live.
Let's go, champ.
The champ.
Let's go, champ.
If you said anything else other than "let's go, champ" as the first thing you said in the podcast, it would be a giant disappointment.
We had to start it off right. It's the champ, Shannon the Cannon. Let's go, champ.
How did you get started doing this, man? You would think that something like as simple as "let's go, champ," like that would catch on.
Right.
How would that be so inspirational?
Oh, man.
Because I see your videos every day. I get pumped up.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. And by the way, pleasure meeting you finally.
Pleasure meeting you too, man.
You too as well, champ. Let's go, champ. I appreciate this. I made it. I'm here with you.
Dude, your videos on Instagram get me fired up.
Thank you.
You're positive. They're exciting. They're fun. It's infectious.
It's real. It's real me. It's me.
Dude, I've been a fan of yours as a boxer for a long time.
Thank you,
brother. But I love how you kind of reinvented yourself over the last few years. You know what I mean? Like you've reinvented yourself with social media. Is this something you've always been doing privately? You've been talking like this privately?
100%. Like, you know, you know, honestly, like, this is the first time in my life. I'm 44. I'll be 45 in December 4th in a few weeks. This is the first time in my life, honestly, that I'm really being myself. I'm not putting on a show for anybody. I'm just showing my real personality, which I'm silly, I'm goofy, I'm serious at times, I'm political at times, I'm a family man. I'm diverse, you know. I love hip hop, but I don't like listen to rap lyrics. So I just listen to beats. So this is who I am, and thanks to social media, I'm able to just show it to the world, and I let my guard down. To be honest with you, I'm finally being like, I'm not trying to be a tough guy because I'm a boxer. I'm just being who I am.
Well, it's fun, man. You know, you can tell because there's no other forum where you would just have a camera pointed at you. You're just saying, champ, champ, and you're like mixing smoothies talking about organic blueberries and all the healthy shit you eat.
That's it, champ.
It's very exciting, man. I mean, like, you'll do, like, a video just telling people to drink water.
And it's true.
And you're like, fuck, man, I'm going to go out and drink some water.
I'm serious. You got to stay hydrated, champ. You know, I listen to you as well, and, you know, you have a war on sugar.
They
say a war on sugar. And I'm totally, you know, for that because it destroys you, man. It destroys you at every level, mentally, physically. It just takes away from you. So I try to tell people, you know, eating right and changing my diet changed my life. I was like finished. I was like gone. I was 403 pounds. I was out of boxing. I was financially in ruin. And changing my diet just totally made my life different.
Well, I love your story because I love a guy who I love a success story, but almost more than a success story, I love a success then fuck your life up then get it back together again story.
Right.
I like that because There's a certain amount of enthusiasm that you have that you know that you've seen dark days, but now you're back.
Right.
You know, and that's part of like the fun of what you're doing. You know what
thanks,
I mean,
brother? Thank you.
The sugar thing is a fucked up thing, isn't it?
Like totally. Because
that most people don't know.
That's what screwed me up. I told you I was like every day McDonald's, and this is after years of eating right and just letting myself go, and that's a whole nother story. But I fell into like deep depression. I was just eating junk food all the time and Krispy Kreme and, you know, sugar was just part of my diet and it was making me crazy mentally. I was suffering from depression. I wanted to off myself for over 2 years. I was contemplating suicide, champ. I was just like to the point I didn't have a clue what to do, you know. Although financially I was doing well, I had got out of boxing and I had got a job. But I was just, I had seen, you know, so much darkness in my life from a child. And it was overwhelming because what I did, Joe, was throughout my life, I would store things and put them in the closet. You know, I was told very young that, you know, you got to be the man of the house, you know, so you got to, you know, get over it. So you're doing that when you're 11 years old, 12 years old, 8 years old, that becomes, you know, over time, I just, you know, it snapped. And
like too much pressure.
Yeah, it was just too much pressure. And then, you know, I'm a kid, honestly, fighting guys like George Foreman, Lennox Lewis, with very little amateur experience. This was all happening fast, so it just became at the point, you know, when I got older, that was just like hard on me.
Well, when you were young, you were so hyped up. You know, you had this crazy look with the dreadlocks and Teddy Atlas is behind you and all these big names. And everybody's like, Shannon the Cannon Briggs is the next big thing. And, you know, you had a lot of success, but there were some people that felt like you didn't live up to your full potential. And then you went away for a little bit and then you came back and you look better than ever.
Right, right. Well, this is like my third comeback. Maybe fourth, to be honest with you. This is like my fourth comeback. So, because I've always had like a foot in boxing, but it was nothing really something that I was really dedicated to or had the right team behind me. It was always something that was to get, you know, to get me by, to make a living. And it's finally come to the point now at 44, being 45, I think about 3-4 years ago, when I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I know I'm good at this. This is something that this is a talent that I've had, because I've had one foot in and one foot out, and I've done great. You know, they say you can't cheat boxing. I won the heavyweight title twice. You know what I'm saying? Not that I cheated boxing, but I never had the stability and the deep backing. And I had a team behind me, don't get me wrong, financially. But I wouldn't say they were for my best interest, in the sense, whereas, like, it was a marketing. You know, I could bring in big money from investors and stuff like that. But then it got to the point I was like, you know what, Shannon, I'm better than that. But I wasn't given the opportunity to have a real training, you know, situation. You know, I was on my own for a long time. I've really been on my own, if you look at it, since like 1995, when me and Teddy Atlas split. I've basically been on my own with different trainers and different promoters, and really no management, just doing what I had to do to make it.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy 2, get 1 free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
When you look back on your career, and you look back especially in the early days when there was so much hype behind you, I mean, you were the next big thing out of Brownsville. You were this guy that everybody was looking forward to, that this is going to be the next big heavyweight. Right. Is that too much pressure in a sense, in a lot of ways? Do you almost like not train 100% to give yourself some excuses? Is that possible?
It's possible, I guess, for other people. It wasn't for me, to be honest with you.
What was going on for you back then? Like, what was that like to be that young, up-and-coming prospect with all those eyes on them?
Right. It was overwhelming in a sense. It was fun, don't get me wrong, but it was overwhelming in a sense where it's like, I knew I wasn't ready. I had a very limited amateur background. From day one, I was put on the, you know, top level. I mean, I had 10 amateur fights. I was on the USA team. I fought Felix Zivone, who had 300 fights, when I had 18 amateur fights on ABC Wild World of Sports. This was a little overwhelming for me. Now, I mean, 18 amateur fights, and here I'm fighting a guy, you know, a gold medalist.
Right.
But, you know, it happened. So, again, I kind of started out young knowing that, you know what, you're going to be on a big screen. You're going to be out there, although you're not prepared.
So you felt like you were always playing catch-up?
Always. Always. Until the last couple of years where I was home making videos and I had time to get in shape. I haven't had a drink in over 5 years. I started drinking when I was 13 years old.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? I was 13 years old. I was drinking. I was homeless from when I was 13 to about 20 years old, living here and there. So I've been on my own since I was a kid, you know what I mean? So when I was put on on the amateur top level, I've always been in a situation where I'm besides playing catch up, I'm on a big screen and I'm not ready, but right. I got to do the best I can, and I've always done that. And that's what I try to tell people, do the best you can. You know what I mean? Do the best you can because you never know.
But that I'm not ready thing seems to have been a constant theme. Like that was always in the back of your head?
Right, 100%. And that was confidence. That's what confidence is. If you go into any fight saying, damn, I'm not ready, you already half defeated. And I was so talented that I could still overcome, you know?
Right.
I fought George Foreman basically on my own. I wasn't with Teddy. We had split. I met a guy down in, not a guy, a friend of mine now, Carlos Abuene, and we trained for about 8 weeks, and here I was, you know, battling George Foreman, and got a close decision, but here I was, I didn't get knocked out, and I was happy with that, you know, and I became the linear heavyweight champion. I was like, wow, you know?
What is it like to beat George Foreman?
I mean, unimaginable.
There's a Mount Rushmore of boxing when it comes to the heavyweight division. For definitely. Sure, George Foreman's on it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Great guy.
It must have been a trip, too, to just be looking at him on the other side of the ring.
Yeah, it was. You know, again, I wasn't ready, but I was there. You know, I wasn't ready confidence-wise. You know, I just met the trainer. We, you know, got with him. He spoke no English. All he would tell me is, give me a jump rope and say jump. I jump rope, you know what I mean?
He spoke no English.
spoke very little English, and I speak very little Spanish, but I understood work, and we just worked, and I won the title.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. Now, Vamos Campeon.
Vamos Campeon. Is that where it came from?
Yeah, pretty much. Living in Miami, you know?
Now, when you split with Teddy Atlas, that was a big deal, too, because Teddy Atlas is like a notorious hard ass.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, he's the hardest of the hard. Yeah. I mean, even when you look at him, that big scar across his face, and, you know, he talks very brutally. And he was like, open publicly, like, saying that he just didn't think that you were all in.
Yeah. That was a real down point in my life where I really felt like that was one of the times where suicide definitely came into play. And I know that may sound crazy, but the reason why is because, you know, when I got with Teddy, I was like 19, 20 years old, and he was very overbearing in a sense where it's like, you know, I wanted to make it. You know, I was homeless. I wanted to make it, and I was willing to do anything he said or what the management said to make it, because it was either that or die in prison. My dad was in prison at the time where he eventually died. My mom was on drugs. She was on heroin and crack. So it was like, okay, I got a manager now, and I got an opportunity to have a trainer, a guy, Teddy Atlas, who used to train Mike Tyson. So I gave myself to him in a sense where I was like, anything he says, I'm going to do. And in doing so, I felt like when we split and he went publicly and said that about me, it hurt so bad, Joe, because I looked at him like a father figure. Because Teddy spent many days, I think, you know, tearing me down so he could control, you know, my mind. And that was cool, you know, whatever. I knew. I didn't come to him as a kid. I came to him as a 19, 20-year-old. So when we split and he went publicly, I was just at a down point. Everyone, I was undefeated. I lost on HBO, Night of the Heavyweights. There was a big, you know, montage about me and everything. And here I was, the highlight of the show, and I got knocked out by Darryl Wilson in the third round. And when Teddy went out, I was just like, damn, you know, what happened to the days when it was like me and you? Like, you know, I was with him for 3, 4, 5 years almost, and it was so much mental telling me that, you know, without me, you're nothing, and you don't have this, you don't have that. But then fight time, you can do it. So it was such a mental, you know, puppet type of thing. When we split, I contemplated committing suicide. I was in my management's basement. I had a shotgun. I was like, man, you know,
Jesus.
What? Because, I mean, I was just in a bad place, and everyone turned it back on me. I mean, the newspapers ripped me apart. And Teddy's influence with the writers and, you know, the New York City crowd was so strong. He had built a great relationship with, I don't want to put anybody out there, but he had built great relationships with certain writers, and they just, everybody assaulted me. I mean, it's just crazy. It was war on Shannon Briggs. So I survived that, though. So that was part of me saying, this is why I tell people I'm the champ, because I've never spoken about this publicly. This is my first time. Let's go champ. You know, but you could probably hear the emotion in my voice, but I apologize. But you know, the whole thing is like, that's part of the reason why I call myself the champ. You know what I mean? Because although when I beat Foreman, you know, people say, oh, you really lost and nothing that third, I won the title. That wasn't winning. Winning was doing that when my mom had just died on my birthday. You know, that was to me why I'm the champ, you know, because I went out there with, you know, without a stable trainer, and I still fought and went 12 rounds. That's why I'm the champ. Then You know, those type of moments in my life is why I say I'm the champ. Winning the title again with 1 second left on the clock with Lajakovic, that's not why I'm the champ. No, because I fought that fight with an asthma attack. You know, I was born asthmatic. The fact that I'm even boxing is unreal. You know, I spent my childhood in the hospitals. I hardly got an education. I dropped out of high school in the ninth grade, Joe. So, you know, part of my school, they used to go on trips was to come visit me in school because of my asthma. You know what I mean? So wow. For me to become heavyweight champion in the world 2 times and about to be 3 very soon, this is an accomplishment for not only myself but for asthmatics and people who didn't give up, because I wanted to give up when Teddy left me. Mm. I wanted to give up, champ.
Well, people who don't know boxing maybe don't know the legend of Teddy Atlas and how he directly connects to Customato and right. the early hard days of the Tyson camp. And, you know, Teddy's a famous motivator, I would say, in a lot of ways. I think there's a certain amount of intoxication that comes from people telling you you're a great motivator, and you start to believe it and buy it into yourself. You may remember the Tim Bradley fight?
Yes.
Where he's in Tim Bradley's corner and he's like, "We're firemen! Yeah. We fight fires! What do firemen do? Yeah, they fight the fire!"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love Teddy. Listen, man, you know, it's hard for me, and it's hard for me to talk about this now because, right. like, this is before the fame for Teddy.
Right.
Like, when we met Teddy, I think he was working in a liquor store. I'm not sure. No disrespect, but, you know, that's just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't doing well financially. And my manager was like, you know what? Like I spoke about earlier about he was a guy who can go out and raise capital. And he had this young kid from the same neighborhood as Mike Tyson. I had just won the U.S. Olympic Championships, 92. And he was able to go out and get a guy and say, "Look, back my guy." You know, like right. racehorse. You know, right. let's keep it real. And he got this famous trainer to train his racehorse, and right. it was Teddy Atlas. And I submitted. I was like, "Hey, whatever." It was this or jail. I said, "Dad was in prison. My stepdad was in prison. Mom is in the streets." And the manager was like, "Hey, you know what? Sign with me. I'm gonna put your mom in rehab." And I was like, "Hell yeah, okay." And he did everything he said he was gonna do. And he gave Teddy. He believed in Teddy, and then I believed in Teddy. And Teddy, in the process, I watched him say, he told me I would never be a commentator because he doesn't feel it's right to talk about fighters. This is what he told me.
He said he would never be a commentator.
Never.
But of course he is a commentator.
This was before he became a commentator.
Yeah, so he decided to become one.
Right. A lot of things that were said, basically, when we split and he went on television, New York won and said, "Hey, you know, he didn't think I had this in the third." I was like, "Damn, well, all the times that we were winning, it was we. When mm-hmm. I lost that one time, it was me."
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, you know.
There's not an exact science to motivating people, right? And there's not an exact science to training. And a lot of the relationship between a trainer and a fighter comes to, like, a perfect trainer for you might not be a perfect trainer for another guy.
Right.
It's just you got to have that bond together. And whether you do or you don't find out until you're in there, right?
Right, true.
Now, looking back as a man now, as an accomplished man, and you look back on your days when you were 19 or 20, what do you think would have been different? Like, what would you have done to motivate yourself or to talk to yourself differently back then?
You know, what I'm doing now, to be honest with you, I honestly tell you, Joe, like, what I'm doing right now, being free. You know, everyone's not that type of fighter. You know, he worked great for, I guess, certain people. I'm not that type of guy. Look, I'm a funny guy. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like to bug out. You know, I like to live. You know, I'm happy. I'm a happy guy. Teddy is not. We different in that way. You know what I'm saying? And for a long time, look for example, Ali. Yeah, Ali trained with Archie Moore. He trained with other trainers before he right. got to Dundee.
Right.
Dundee knew how to train Ali. Let right. him do him. And this is what I'm doing now. People say, you know, my guys who work with me, Jesse Robinson, Stacy McKinley, the great Stacy McKinley, the great Jesse Robinson, these guys know how to train me now. And although I'm 44, almost, I'll be 45, I've learned later on in life how to just be me.
Mm-hmm.
Be free. This works for Shannon Briggs. Win, lose, or draw, it works for Shannon Briggs, opposed to being someone else because someone else said, and I've done a lot of that. And it became a syndrome where it's like, you know, I grew up in this, with a manager, with a trainer, and an investor, it became like a process for me to go through it over and over and over again. It's like to the point where, like, you're a man, champ.
Do you feel like all these people were trying to shape you and you were resisting it or you were confused by it?
I was going along with the program, champ. You know, whatever, you know, survival, you know, go along with the program. The hardest thing for me in my life was being homeless, you know, being a homeless teenager and losing my home because it wasn't like something that I was used to. I came home from school one day. I was going to Bishop Lachlan High School and I came home and we were evicted. And I looked in the peephole, and I looked, and the house, you know, apartment was empty. And I was like, I lived there all my life. I was born and raised in Atlantic Towers, you know. So that was a turning point for me. I left home. I left that building that day, a homeless teen, homeless kid, and no more comic books, no more toys that I grew up, you know. And if, now if people who look at me on the gram, they see my personality, you know what I'm saying? They see the comic book side of me. They see the television side of me. Whereas I lost my childhood that day. When I went home and we were evicted, that day became like I had to become a man that day. I took the bus to my aunt's house. And, you know, that night she kicked us out. So my life was no longer had a color TV in my room. And, you know, it was all about survival. You know, I started getting in trouble and life took me to where I am now.
Wow. And you were boxing at the time, too?
Nah, never boxed.
When did you start boxing?
I started boxing when I was like 16, 17.
So you started boxing as you were homeless?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how were you doing that? Like, where were you sleeping?
Different places. Sometimes an aunt's house, a cousin's house, a friend's house, you know, sometimes a shelter, wherever I could, champ, be honest with you.
And so it wasn't until you started having some success as a boxer that you stopped being homeless.
Yeah, well, I got an apartment. My rest in peace, Jimmy O'Farrell, my savior. I found his gym, Starrett City, when I was about 16 years old. And I slept there many nights, too. I would stay in the gym. And that's what kind of what kept – it's funny because – boxing always drew me back in because, you know, I might get in trouble, go to jail, get arrested or whatever as a teen. And if I wanted to get out of trouble, I'd have to go to get Jimmy O to hopefully sign for me for probation or something like that. And then I'd have to use the gym as my residence. I'd sleep in the gym, man. It was freezing many nights, but it's what I had to do. And so I was drawn back to boxing. You know, I wanted to – I always had the talent. So, you know, like, for instance, let me tell you this. My first guy to ever look gave me some money was Shelly Finkel.
Wow.
The first guy, I was like 17 years old, 18 years old. He was looking for me. He was calling around gym to gym. They said, that kid's homeless. It got back to me, and Shelly Finkel was looking for me. I couldn't believe it because Shelly Finkel was, you know, Shelly Finkel.
Legendary boxing
exactly.
Character.
And I never forget, I swear to God, I went to see him, Joe, and he gave me $5,000. He was like, you're going to make it. He said, like, I want, you know, send you, you know, with my team or whatever. I was like, I can't believe it. And I leave his building. I'm in the train station, Joe. And I take out the money to get a token. This is when they had the token booths. And this had to be like 89, 90. And a guy seen me with the money. I was homeless at the time. He seen me, you know, trying to get a token. I took out one of the hundreds. He tried to rob me on the train. He followed me. I couldn't believe it. I had never seen $5,000, let alone I had it in my pocket, right? And I'm thinking this, right? So he tries to rob me on the train. Bro, I beat this crap out of him. It was crazy, Chad.
Picked the wrong dude.
Yeah.
Now, when you went that long period of your life where you're boxing consistently and then you stopped for a while,
right.
What was going on there in your life?
Let me see. Man.
How long did you stop for?
Just
three.
Year,
how many years?
A year here, 2 years here, 3 years here. I wasn't consistent. I just, like, again, man, goes back to the confidence, you know? Just never really had the confidence to really want to do it, to just really feel like I had my feet solid in the ground. And these last couple of years gave me that. It gave me the opportunity to just, you know, train nonstop. And that's what I call it, not that I'm making up for lost time, but I call it making up for lost time. Because I'm training every day nonstop. You know, I get my rest, of course, but I've dedicated my last 4 years to this, you know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
And what made you decide, like, to just clean everything up? Eat healthy, stop drinking? Like, what was it, like, how did you make that decision to just stop and get it together?
I was suicidal, champ. I was like, it's over. I had a daughter. I had my baby girl. I have two sons, Chan Briggs, my boy. I love him to death. Let's go, champ. He's 19. My son, Caden Briggs, who's 10 years old. I love him, too. Let's go, champ. And my baby girl, Chloe, and she changed everything. She's 4 now, and it was 4 years ago. I got everything. I always relate everything to 4 years. Four years ago, my life changed. You know, she came, and she was a spitting image of my mom. And, you know, I was just like, that was it. As soon as she came out, I could see my mom and her, and it was like my mom reincarnated. You know, I'm the only child, and, you know, here it was. I was back with my mother again. I could see it. It was eerie. It was like a ghost. Wow. You know? And then I was fat. I was depressed. And I held it every day. I sat on the couch with her every day for 1 year straight, like 364 days. I kid you not. I sat, my wife would, in the morning, I'd sit there. I would just give it to my wife to breastfeed. I held it every day. And then it was like 364 days. I was fat. I was a balloon. I'd get up only to get like food. You know, I'd eat a big bowl of a box of cereal. I kid you not. I put the milk in the fridge. I put a whole box in a big, huge bowl. My friend called it the Unga Bunga Bowl. And I'd sit there and I'd eat a whole box, you know? And I would hold her all day. And then finally one day I said, you know what, bro? You're going to kill yourself. And I couldn't imagine her in this world, you know what I'm saying, having to do things to survive that some women have to do, you know what I mean? And just looking at her and the love for her, I got up and I started walking, man. I started saying, let's go, champ. Let's go, champ, you know? I had no entourage, no more friends. My money was gone. You know, I had an entourage at one point. I thought they jacked the show for me. You know, I had friends. I had cars. I had a lot of that. And then, you know, that all disappeared. And it was just me and my baby girl and my family, my wife, Alana. Shout out to my babe. Let's go, champ. And, you know, it was just a lot of hurt and memories and anger. And I was like, you know, I gotta fuel this, champ. You got to put this in the right place, you know. And shout out to Teddy Atlas. No disrespect. I got nothing but love because I learned a lot from him, good and bad. And I won't say bad, but the bad things that I survived, those things made me who I am today. And that's why I have a family. That's why I'm able to, you know, be here with you today at 45 years old because I'm strong. You feel me? But one thing he told me, he told me a long time ago, 1992, he said, whatever your fuel is, whether it's anger, love, whatever, use it. It may be, for some people may say, oh, it's wrong because anger. Some people may say, you know, oh, use positivity. Use what you got to use. You know what I'm saying? Do what you got to do to get what you got to get. And it was a lot of hurt and anger from my past, from that situation, from other situations, other management. And, you know, I mean, I've been through so much, champ. You know, I've been heavily involved with some of the biggest deals in probably this country's history. I kid you not. Live Nation deal, I was involved with that. I mean, one of the first reality shows, you look at The Contender, I was involved at the top level of things, you know, disappointments, things not happening. Where I was heavily involved in, I got shagged. So I was like, damn, you know what? 4 years ago, I was like, yo, you know what? You've done everything, Shannon. You've done business. You did well. You know, I didn't make money. I haven't made much money in boxing. You know, I'm around guys like, like Britt Bowe and Holyfield every day, guys who've made hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm lucky if I made $4 million, $5 million in boxing. You know what I'm saying? And the money I made, I've had, it wasn't given to me, champ. You know what I'm saying? I've been shagged. I'm going to keep it real with you. I've been shagged. So, you know, for me to, I'm sorry I'm jumping around, but,
that's okay.
You know, I learned to use all that, the fuel from that,
right.
The anger from getting shagged so many times, learning, champ, you're not a businessman. You're a boxer. Every time you was homeless, every time you was down and out, boxing saved you. You ran back to boxing. You was doing business. You made this, you made that, but boxing. You know what I'm saying?
Having peace with that balancing act, like the negative moments that you had in your life not defining you and figuring out how to use them for fuel,
right.
Figuring out how to look back on those negative moments and don't like wallow in them, but say that's never going to happen again.
Right.
That's the great balancing act of the successful fighter, because there's not a single successful fighter that hasn't come from some kind of conflict.
100%.
There's no other way.
But you know, I think we do this. Some of us do this in hopes there is a finish line. The finish line is you want to retire with money. You want to hopefully leave a name for yourself, you know what I'm saying? And you want to walk away with your brains, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm trying to leave with my brains. I'm trying to leave with some money, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to leave with a name. And I'm using that fuel. I'm using my past and my present because I got to tell you the truth. Although there is some past hurt, and you can probably hear when I talk about certain things, there's so much positivity. There's so much great things that's happening right now that's surpassing the disappointments. Excuse me, the disappointments. So much positivity is happening right now, champ, all around the world. People saying, "Let's go, champ."
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine it, champ. I wanted to commit suicide. And now I'm walking everywhere I go. People going, champ, champ.
Dude, I got texts from everybody. When we put on Instagram that you were coming on here, I got texts from everybody. Michael Bisping, UFC middleweight champ. And he was like, I love that guy.
Let's go, champ. That's my man.
So many people love you, man.
Yeah.
You are spreading so much fun and positivity
through those
posts.
That's the real fuel. Honestly, champ, look, two tanks. There's the disappointments and the hurt. And then there's the reality that right now I'm alive. I survived bad food. I survived myself drinking, champ. I was, champ, listen, at one point, Joe, they had me on Depakote, Seroquel, Xanax, Zoloft, and Paxil.
All together?
Not together, champ. But you know, they gave them to me. Now, listen, I didn't take the Depakote and the Seroquel because I was like, come on, champ. You
what
can't
is
be
that
serious.
Stuff?
It's like tranquilizers.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was. That's how bad I
They're
was.
They were trying to slow you down.
They were trying to kill the champ. You know
get,
what I'm saying?
Get this big killer Let's go to sleep.
And I survived that. True. That's why I'm the champ. That's why I'm the champ, because I survived that. That's overcome to be like, you know what? I lost 160 pounds. Look at me, champ.
You look great.
Look at me,
God
champ.
Damn. That's
look
good.
At me, champ.
And you're 44, almost 45.
44. I'll be 45 in a week or two.
And people are ducking you like crazy.
Man, they don't
That's
want no piece
interesting.
Of the champ.
They
don't
want
David no piece
Hay,
of the
dude.
Champ.
David Hay Soft said he was
him.
All in.
Soft for the
he
baby
said he was
shit.
All in.
I'm sorry. I curse. I apologize.
That's okay. Curse away.
Let's go, champ.
But David Hay was all in at one point.
Yeah, soft.
Saw too many left hooks in the liver.
Biscuit. Softer like, than a biscuit, yeah.
What happened?
I went over to England, which I love. Was my UK hat.
You went over there just to fuck with
man,
him.
Totally.
You got an apartment.
Totally. Champ. And again, that's the fuel. Like, honestly, I was down and out, champ. Listen, so many days, you know, I was like, man, you know what? I'm trying this thing, man, and no one's giving me a shot, and I'm like, you know what, man, maybe I should get a job, and maybe I should. I'm like, nah, you know what? Then I woke up one day, and guess what? Snoop Dogg said, let's go, champ.
Really?
I swear to God.
I remember that. He was smoking weed.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm fucking with you, champ. Let's go, champ.
Come on, champ. That was the night before. I was like, bro. The night before, I was like, yo, bro, you really trying, champ. You have fights, man, and maybe it's never going to happen for you. You know what I mean? I was like, yo. And then I woke up like 4 or 5 in the morning. Snoop Dogg was saying, let's go, champ. I said, I'm back. Let's go, champ. I said, I'm back.
Oh, that was beautiful, man.
Yeah, champ.
Well, you've done some crazy shit, too, though, man. Like especially with the Klitschko's.
Yeah, soft. He's softer than a biscuit.
You've had a lot of fun videos, though, showing up, drinking his water, fucking with him.
Yes.
You knocked him over when you were riding a boat. He was on the paddleboard.
I got him. Chomp.
How long ago was the paddleboard incident?
Man, I don't even know. I lost track of time, champ. I was like 2 years, maybe.
But he just, you couldn't get a fight with him.
Nah, he saw. I've been chasing Klitschko, honestly, since like 2005. I was supposed to fight him. Like, honestly, we were supposed to fight. He fought in New York City. He was supposed to fight Shannon Briggs. Everything was, you know, set to go. And he wound up fighting Calvin Brock, who was from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. No one could, I couldn't understand it, where we had, you know, we literally
New
had
York.
A contract. Yeah, it was in New York. It was a great
people,
fight.
Right?
It was going to sell out.
A lot of fans. It was crazy.
All the time. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm bringing that. That's
but
what I come
want
with.
It.
He didn't want it because I was dangerous. And that's what I'm going through right now. They can say what they want about me, Joe. This and third. Oh, he's crazy. He's this. But guess what? I'm dangerous. I've got tons of emails. I'm not a snitch. Listen, I got tons of emails of guys with their managers saying, no, not right now. He's too dangerous. I've got Deontay Wilder backed out of a fight with me for $2 million. He can't front. I got emails and everything. Let's go, champ. I'm getting excited, as you can tell.
Well, once you started calling him Beyonce, I was like,
let's
uh-oh.
Go, champ.
Champ went to DEFCON 4. You started calling him Beyonce
As you can see,
Wilder.
The meat is rising now, champ. The meat is rising now. Now we talk about what I want to talk about, fights. Let's go, champ. Yeah, it's the champ and Joe Rogan.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The Klitschko one was particularly hilarious
because
he was on that paddleboard.
Yeah,
There's nothing more humiliating than to get knocked over
on
a paddleboard
when
people are talking shit.
And he still won't fight me. he still wouldn't fight me.
Come here on. It is right here.
Yeah, look at him.
First of all, look what is he doing out there on a paddleboard by himself?
Which is stupid.
In the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is almost like a setup.
Nah, it's stupid. Like, he does this every Wednesday. This.
Does he?
Yeah, he does this every Wednesday. So everybody wants to go knock him off. Go ahead.
Where does
he go? I got mine.
Where does he go?
He's in Intercoastal somewhere.
Where is that? Is it Miami?
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. Oh, Hollywood. That's Hollywood, champ. Shout out to Hollywood, Florida. Best town in the world.
Does he live down there?
Yeah, he lived down there. I live down there. We all live down there.
And so he would stand on that paddleboard, go out in the middle of the ocean, and be paddling. And he'd just knock them over.
Yeah.
And he would just be paddling around.
Yeah, that's his exercise.
What a weird exercise.
Yeah, he, you know, he's a weirdo.
He seems like a strange guy.
Yeah, he's weird. That's how the beef started, Joe. Chris, shout out to Chris Lawrence, the Heavyweight Factory, who's the greatest guy on earth, honestly. Like, it wasn't for him, you know, this guy put the fuel, put the cash behind me. I was flat on my face. This guy came and was like, you know what? I believe in you. I was fat, depressed. He seen me in the Fresh Market. He was like, you know, damn. I was like, you know, he seen me. I came back like 7-8 months later. I came to his office. I was like, yo, champ, what's up? He was like, damn. He called me and, you know, a week later was like, yo, we should do something. I was like, let's go, champ. And here we are today. You know what I'm saying? I've been traveling the world thanks to Chris. And now I've actually been ordered, the WBA has ordered a fight between me and Lucas Brown. And hopefully we can make that happen very soon.
I was seeing something on your Instagram that it's still not signed yet, though.
No.
You're disappointed in that.
Very disappointed.
Now, is Lucas Brown trying to avoid it, or what's happening? Is there complications?
I don't know. You know what, Joe? Honestly, like, I've been through so much in the last couple of years with Wilder, with Klitschko, with different fights, with Hay. I fought on Hay's undercard. I went over to England. Shout out to the UK. I love it. My second home. I was a big fuel injection behind what I'm doing right now, because I went over there and I've never felt that type of love anywhere in the world, like, for myself to go where, you know, we speak the same language, we speak their language, and just to have the love, man, it's just incredible. Everywhere I go, let's go, champ. You know, it's just amazing, man. That really put a lot into what I'm doing right now.
But you decided to go over there and get an apartment.
I had to because I was flat on my ass, champ. And I was like, you know, trying to move up in the rankings. I gave everybody a call, Al Heyman, every LaBella. Everybody, the Cubist, I gave everybody a call, was like, yo, I'm trying to get back in the game. Nobody believed in me. Chris Lawrence called me and was like, yo, I believe in you. And that's why I was like, you know what, Chris? He said, yo, you're a little crazy. I said, I am. I've been diagnosed a little crazy. I suffer from PTSD. This is true. You know what I'm saying? But I'm exciting, and I'm going to make it happen because I'm a believer. Nothing can stop me, champ. You look at me. Nothing can stop me. I don't care who you get. Whoever say they could beat me, they lying. Because when the bell ring, champ, I'm a whole different person because I'm charged. Look at me. Look at what I've been through. Look what I'm telling you. You can hear the emotion in my voice. The pain still lives, champ.
I'm in.
Let's go, champ.
I'm in.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
I don't understand why it's so hard to get you fights. So this is what
I'm
drives
dangerous,
me
champ.
Crazy.
Look at me. Look
I
at
see.
Me.
I
and I'm crazy.
You. I believe that.
I don't care.
If I was a promoter.
I don't care. I don't care who I fight. They can say what they... And I'm not stupid. I'm not going to fight fights for me, for guys, for pennies. That's meaningless. That's going to beat me up. I'm 44. I'll be 45. I already got but so much limit on his body. I'm a heavyweight. I fought George Foreman, champ. I fought Vitaly Klitschko, champ. For free, by the way. We'll talk about that later.
How is that free?
For no,
okay,
no money
we'll get
down.
Back to that.
Right? I fought Francois Botha, Ray Mercer. You feel me?
Yeah.
I fought some big punches, George Foreman. So for me, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to fight every guy out there just to try to build myself. I'm a former two-time heavyweight champion in the world. That alone should get me a title fight. That alone, that's how it used to be. Guys have come out of retirement from the beginning, from the Sullivan days, and came out no fights and got a title fight.
What drives me crazy is you're so marketable. That's what drives me crazy.
The best
like if
ever.
If you were in the UFC.
No promoter. No, the best ever.
They would be lining up fights for you left and right if you were in the UFC.
Listen, champ. I know. And I know Dana. Dana's my boy. Now, that's another story in itself. 1993 or 4, Meyerowitz is his name, right?
Bob Meyerowitz.
He sold the UFC to Dana and them, right?
Yeah, in 2001.
Call Rob right now. He tell you who his boy is, Shannon Briggs. He was sitting on the couch with me waiting for Mark Roberts to come home to talk, to try to get Mark to go in with him with the UFC.
Wow.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. Sitting on the couch with Rob.
Well, boxing is hard to get fights lined up because there's so many different conflicting promoters
right.
and different, you know,
and
everybody wants their piece of the pie. And then it's hard to get fighters to agree to fight someone like you who's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm dangerous. I'm, you know, I'm fast, I punch hard, and I got a chin. So, you know, they only count on one thing, that I run out of gas. And I say this all the time, champ. If your biggest asset is hoping on that I run out of gas, you fucked up. Excuse my language. I apologize, boys and girls.
Don't apologize.
You messed up. You messed up. If you're relying on me running out of gas, that's your big. If you're going into a fight, talking about, man, I just hope you run out of gas. You already lost, champ. You already lost.
Now, why are they worried that you're running out of gas? Because I know that you've concentrated a lot on your cardio.
Yes.
And it's one of the things you put on your Instagram. You're always doing cardio. You're constantly doing cardio.
Yeah. I'm cardio. If I was born with underdeveloped lungs, I was born less than 2 pounds at birth. My mom was on heroin when I was born.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I came out the womb fighting to survive. I didn't go home for 7, 8, 9 months before when I was born. So look at me now. That's why I'm the champ, Joe. That's why I'm the champ. Because if you could overcome, you were already the champ.
You had underdeveloped lungs and asthma.
Yes. All my life. You can ask anybody I went to school with. I went to Risen Christ Lutheran School in Brownsville, Brooklyn for 7 years. Then I went to IS 55. Then I went to Bishop Lachlan High School. Then I went to George Wingate where I got dropped out.
Now, what causes asthma? Like, what exactly? Like, people like me who don't have it, yeah. You know it's bad, but you don't know much about it. What is it?
I don't know, champ. But, you know, looking back, like, we lived... You know, my mom lived in the towers, but, like, you know, where my grandmom lived on Pennsylvania Avenue in East New York, you know, looking back, it was a old abandoned building that my aunt bought from the city for, like, $7, and they constructed. I'm sure it had asbestos in it and that whole type of shit, you know, looking back.
Right.
But, you know, I grew up, man, in the hood, champ. I grew up in the poor New York City, 1970s. I remember everything, the blackout. I was on the train by myself. I was 9 years old. You know, I grew up hard, you know what I mean? So
when you get an asthma attack, is it like, what
does it
feel
like?
That
to say asthma is really in the city, in the cities like that. It's worse than in the cities. In the cities, Chicago, L.A., I mean, you know. New York, shit like that.
So you think it might be related to environmental stuff?
Definitely.
So, yeah.
100%.
Now, what does it feel like when you get an asthma attack?
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world. It's like nothing you can ever imagine. Because we take it for granted we take oxygen for granted because it's just here for us. But, you know, you can go without food and water. I say it all the time for, you know, days to weeks. But you can't go without oxygen for 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes. And that's what it's like. It's just really you're dying. That's the bottom line. You're dying.
A friend of mine described it as, he said it's like trying to breathe through a straw. It's like all of a sudden, all you got is like a little straw hole.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Have you ever had that happen in a fight?
100 times.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What does that feel like?
The worst. It's a fear, panicking, and you start talking and coming up with things and believing and doing anything you can do. You know, that's why a lot of people are religious and a lot of people go to different things for something to outside of themselves that they can, you know, hold on to. Or ask for help for, you feel me? Me, I'm a little different. I know it's just me. I got to deal with these lungs, and I got to do what I got to do to expand them. And when I'm in a fight, if that fear or anything comes overcome, so what? Let's go, champ.
Now, when you have an attack, is it just take a while before it relaxes and comes back? Like, what is the feeling?
Man.
I mean, I know people take inhalers, yeah, and dilate your lungs.
Yeah. It's like being in the water, champ. You know, drowning almost, I guess. You know what I'm saying? You're panicking, I guess. You know, you're suffering. You're trying to get that oxygen in. But, you know, it's something that I really, thanks to, you know, things that I'm doing now, my diet of first, and well, I really feel like, you know, I've overcome it.
So the diet, cutting out the sugar, 100%. Eating really healthy.
No dairy.
No, nothing that causes inflammation.
Yeah. Yes, no,
that,
no
that made a big factor.
Inflammation is key. CBD, shout out.
Yeah, CBD is amazing.
CBD is
right?
Amazing. Unreal.
Now, from doing that, you don't have any asthma attacks anymore?
No.
Wow.
No.
That's amazing.
I feel great, champ. I feel like Man of Steel. I honestly do, you know? I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life, literally.
Have you ever done any breathing exercises? You ever gotten,
I have to. And, you know, and it's hard, Joe, because I'm a family man. I got, you know, kids and no excuse, but I have a family to take care of, provide for, and I have a career. So that's a lot of things people don't understand. Like, I've always juggled both, you know, taking care of my family and myself and a boxing career. And it's been crazy, but it's been an amazing ride, champ. And where I'm at right now, ooh, let me tell you, boy, Joe, everywhere I go,
Well, when did the social media thing kick in? When did you start doing it?
My nephew Craig, shout out to Craig Brown. Let's go, champ. My nephew Craig came about 4 years ago. I had my first Instagram account. It was just photos then, and I was like, you know what, man, I'm gonna lose this weight, and it sounds like a corny thing to do. Everyone's doing like little blogs, but I'm gonna just do my own, you know, even for myself. And I put it up. I had 9 followers, champ. and it built to like, you know, 2,000. I was like, man, if I could ever get to 5,000, man, you know, I'll be there. And I never paid for the followers, and they went through this whole thing where they dropped everybody with who had paid for the followers, and I wound up being like 5,000. I was like, man, if I could ever get to 10,000. And then they came up with the video, and Craig came into town. I was like, yo, Craig, I'm going to work out every day, and I want you to film it, and we're going to put it on Instagram and see how it goes. And it just took off.
But it's just hilarious how much it's taken off.
It's too much, man.
Like, when I tell people that you were going to be on, man, I'm telling you, like, not like anybody else that's ever been on. They got a wave of people,
man,
that got excited about it.
I appreciate that. Because they don't have a publicist, champ. I do everything. We do everything in-house, champ, which is just me and Craig and my family. We do everything. We don't have any marketing behind us, nothing. We just out here grinding. And fortunately, we've got this shot now for this WBA Heavyweight Championship. It's been ordered. As far as Brown and the team, they've been delaying. I'm not sure if he's going to drop out and just give me the belt. I'm not sure what's happening because we've been waiting for them to pull the trigger. They said they were going to, you know, find a venue and everything. We talked about Australia. They talked about China.
Who's the promoter?
Well, you know, his management team and his lawyer, Leon Michaelis, are handling most of it. But if they don't come with a deal, champ, but basically, I already feel like everybody's scared of me. So I think they could just give me the belt because I just want to fight Klitschko, to be honest with you, because I want to prove to the world that he's softer than a biscuit because he really is. I fought his brother with one arm for 12 rounds. One arm for 12 rounds. This happened in the first round, Joe.
You tore your bicep.
In the first round, yeah, in the first round. Not only tore the bicep, the tendon popped. They had to go through both sides. This was in the first round. I took like unreal punches to the head. I forgot how many number it was, but I took unreal punches to the head. They left me for dead. I didn't even get paid for the fight, champ.
Now, what happened there? How'd you not get paid?
Listen, I started a promotional company called Golden Empire. It was basically backdoored and changed to the Empire. We fought. The company felt as though certain things that were allotted to me, I don't know. They said I had a tab. I don't know. It was crazy, but the tab was never produced. The company that I started basically was in my company anymore, and I was supposed to be given shares. This company wound up going to trying to purchase EDC, Electric Daisy Carnival, through my introduction. It got crazy. It went public. The night before my fight, the stock was up. I had no shares. I said, I'm not signing nothing until I know I'm guaranteed a purse. It was crazy, champ. This is what led to my depression. This is why I went home after the fight and was like, yo, what happened here? I fought Vitaly Klitschko for 12 rounds. I took an ass from him. I didn't even get paid.
That's crazy.
And then I was in court with them for 8 months before I settled out on, like, pennies on the dollar because I had to take care of my family, champ. And this is what drove me to pure depression. But then I overcame that, and now I'm here with you.
How much did they fuck you out of?
Champ, who knows? Who knows? I mean, the fight, and this is facts. This is facts, champ. Like they say in New York, facts. You feel me? Listen, it was the highest grossing fight as far as TV coverage in history, and either one or two in German history, Shannon Briggs versus Vitaly Klitschko.
Well, he's a huge star in Germany.
And I was huge. And I went over there and I bought action. And the people was like, yo, listen, this guy can sell. We want to see this fight. The ratings were unreal. It was like the highest rating in history. Champ, I ain't get $1.
That's so crazy.
Not $1, champ. How could I not fall into depression? But how could I not come out of it? I've been fighting since day one, champ. Fight the breeze. I've been fighting the breeze, champ.
So that was the last big bad moment.
Yeah, that was harsh. Yeah, that was. I'm back to normal. Yeah, that was harsh.
Well, you came out of it, man.
Yeah, champ.
That's the beautiful thing about it. You came out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Now, at 44, almost 45 years old, how much?
Sagittarius, December 4th.
How much have you had to, like, alter your training? Like, as you've gotten older, you've gotten wiser with it? Because I remember there was something that Larry Holmes talked about a lot when he got older. He's like, what he did was smarter. He goes, I'm not training 7 days a week anymore, six days a week. He goes, I'll train 4 or 5. He goes, and I won't do 3 hours. I'll do an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, and he still was able to maintain a very high level. But understanding the limitations of his body.
Yeah, shout out to Larry Holmes, who's always given me nothing but great advice.
He's an assassin.
The man, one of the greatest of all times, if not the greatest heavyweight of all time.
He just had the unfortune of being right after Muhammad Ali.
100%.
And people just didn't appreciate him or love him.
100%. But he could definitely get busy.
He was a great boxer.
And he's been giving me advice since the 90s, I mean early 90s. He told me recently, he said, don't stop fighting. He told me, don't stop fighting. Whatever you do, don't stop. He said, keep fighting. I don't care what they tell you, win, lose, or draw. He said, don't stop fighting. I was like, really? He was like, I'm telling you, don't fight to the end. That's what we do. He said, if I could have, I would have stayed fighting to the end.
Well, I remember when Larry came back, when Mike Tyson went to jail, he's like, fuck it, I'm coming back. Mike right. Tyson's locked up. And he came back and he outboxed Ray Mercer. And I was like, wow, that's look right. at Larry, man.
That's right.
Just skill and talent and that jab. Yep. He had like one of the most underrated jabs ever.
The best. The best.
So when you are now at 44 years age, you're healthier than ever before. You take care of yourself better than ever before. You look fantastic.
Thank you, Jack.
Have you altered your training at all? Like, what have you done to make sure that everything is, you know, going smooth?
Yeah, when I first came back, I was ODing, of course. I was, like, again, trying to make up for lost time. So I was, like, training every day. And the injuries were just coming in. You know what I mean? The Achilles, this one, that one, the elbow.
Just going too hard.
Yeah, I was going too hard. Then I met Dr. Buck at Whole Foods one day. Shout out to Dr. Buck. And he was like...
Who's Dr. Buck?
He's a nice guy, man. He's a... What is he? Chinese medicine doctor. And he gave me a great plan. He was like, you know, champ, you should train 3 days, take a day off, train 2 days, take 2 days off, train 4 days, take 3 days off. And I was like, wow. He was like, trust me, it'll work for you. He was like, the body needs rest. And I started doing that, champ, and it's been working for me great. I feel better than ever, honestly. I've never felt this strong. I've just sparred day four yesterday. Shout out to Trevor Bryant, up and coming heavyweight. It gives me great work. It wasn't for him. I'm where I'm at thanks to him. He's been training me for the last 3 years. I've been watching him train, sparring. We sparred the other day. I'm going to get you because he thumbed me in the eye, by the way. But I'm still pretty. Let's go, champ. And, you know, I've been training me. I've been sparring. I mean, I'm the fastest I've ever been. I'm stronger than I've ever been. I see everything. You know what I mean? In the ring. When I was young, man, again, I was battling with, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right.
Now I'm in there like, you're not supposed to be here. You feel me? You're not supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all feel good, champ.
I get it. Let's go, champ. I get it. But it's all about getting yourself prepared for the moment where you can perform.
Right.
And I think so many guys leave too much in the gym
yes.
because they have this thing in their head that you can't do too much.
Train smarter, not harder.
That is it, right? Yeah. And it's a balancing act.
Trying smarter, not harder.
Trying to find that balance between the correct, like, you don't want to sell yourself short. You don't want to not push hard enough to reach your potential. But how do you figure out, like, when you're in and when you're out? How do you feel like, how do you figure out how to reach that perfect potential? Because only you know.
You know, I was working with a guy, and I love him. Shout out to Billy Beck. And Billy Beck told me, he said, you know what, you got to once in a while push yourself to see how far you can go. He said, you know, you can run 15 miles, but can you run 20? And I was like, damn, you know. So once in a while, I do give myself that, you know what? What can you do? You know, I'm going to try to make it up and down these stairs, you know, 100 times. You know what I mean? I'm going to do the best I can, just once in a blue. And then I give it, you know, and I might do that again in 3 months or 2 months, you know. But you got to know your body too, champ. You got to honest, and you got to be honest with yourself, because I wasn't always honest with myself. Because of asthma, I was having high anxiety when it came to running and when it came to, like, pushing my lungs, because this is something I've experienced all my life since birth. I can't remember, you know, finishing school because I was always in the hospital. I grew up in St. Mary's in Brooklyn, St. John's in Brooklyn, Kings County in Brooklyn. I grew up in the hospital. I can tell you what the children's playrooms look like. You know what I'm saying? I mean, kids' ward. So I grew up in these places. So for me to become a boxer and have to use so much breathing, it's amazing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to give myself a blowjob, but it's just the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's not – what other heavyweight and champion in history can honestly say they suffered from something with underdeveloped lungs and became a champion in it? Am I the greatest champion? Hell no. But could I be? Possibly. Because if I had the lungs that some of these guys had, who knows how good I might be. I'm fast. I hit hard. I'm crazy. I'm with whatever. I'm with whatever, champ. You know what I'm saying? Joe, they haven't seen the best of me, to be honest with you, champ. They've never seen the best of me. No one has. And that's why I'm back. Because I don't want to leave this earth or wherever I'm going, the next level, the next dimension. I don't want to go saying, man, I wish they had seen me. Because I'm nice, Joe. Honestly, those who really know me, like, I'm really good at this boxing thing. Like, I'm self-taught. I watched Muhammad Ali and Ray Robinson, too. I was blue in the face as a kid, and I mimicked them as a heavyweight.
You got one of the best left hooks to the liver.
I got that from Chavez. Vamos Campeon. there you go. Let's go, champ. Vamos Campeon. Shout out to Geraldo Gomez. Ooh, Geraldo Gomez. Part of this comeback, my brother. Yeah, left hook. I got that from Chavez.
It's a stabbing left hook.
I got it. Ooh, I go around it.
You get in there.
I reach around.
Yeah, you get in there.
I reach around. I reach around. I snatch it. But shout out to you know black people with our shout outs. Mike McCallum.
Mike McCallum.
I got that from him.
I
met Mike when I was like 18 years old in Prospect Park.
Oh, wow. I remember when he knocked out Donald Curry. I was a huge Donald Curry fan. I got so depressed, I had to go running. I shut the TV off. I was like, fuck. Yeah, I went run. He hit him with a left hook to the body and went upstairs. Knocked him out cold.
Shout out to Terry, and I had to go running.
I ran, and I said to myself, I'm never going to get depressed out of somebody else's loss ever again. I was a kid. I was so bummed out. I was a huge Donald Curry fan.
Mike taught me that, but I watched Chavez so much. I watched Chavez so much that I feel like if we're heavyweight, I've got it perfected. If I get you there, you could call it good night. It might catch up to you later, though. It might be chilling for a minute. Round, next round, you'd be like, oh, shit. Gotcha.
Yeah, in there.
Let's go, champ.
Now, do you follow a strength and conditioning program? Do you have a trainer that you work with for strength and conditioning?
Yes, I work with different guys.
What kind of shit do you do?
All type of shit, champ. You name it. But I've been doing this for years. I worked with Mackie Shillstone, champ.
Back in
the days before this was popular. It was back. He worked with Spinks, don't get me wrong. But I worked with Shillstone. I've worked with guys. This ain't nothing new to the champ. You feel me?
Well, Shillstone was the first guy that really became prominent as a strength and conditioning coach for boxing.
Tom Shaw.
Yeah.
I worked with the great Tom Shaw. Tom Shaw is the man.
Yeah.
I work with Duke Roos, man. You know Duke Roos?
I know the name.
Duke Roos. I work with Duke Roos out of New Orleans. He's the best in the world. Rod Gillis. I work with everybody, champ.
And Mackie Shillston was the guy that pumped Spinks up when he fought Larry
Holmes.
Right.
That's right.
He bulked him up a little bit, but didn't slow him down.
That's right. He had that speed, boy.
Didn't he work with Holyfield, too? He worked with Holyfield as well, I think.
No, I think he worked with Lee Haney.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he might have worked with Holy, though. Holy's the man. Holy worked with everybody, too. Holy was the real guy who brought that into prominence as far as, you know, strength and conditioning and boxing, especially in boxing. You know what I mean?
Well,
especially
he was one of the first guys where weightlifting became accepted.
Exactly.
Because for the longest time, boxing trainers would tell you that weightlifting slows you down, which it kind of does because it makes you sore, and then you don't perform as well in the gym. But once you recover, then you're fast again.
Yes.
So Holyfield was like one of the first guys to make that leap, to understand, like, look, he's going to go from a cruiserweight to a heavyweight, and he became a legit heavyweight.
If not one of the best ever.
One of the best ever. I mean, his performances against Mike Tyson.
Unreal.
Come on, man. That first fight in particular.
How about him and Bo?
Oh, wow.
Sheesh. Him and Dokes.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Holy
gets
busy.
Was crazy.
You ain't see me and him moving the other day? Me and Holy? On Instagram? Yeah.
No.
He still got it.
He's still training.
How old is Holy? 50 something, but he got it.
Is he still fighting?
No, he ain't fighting.
He stopped.
Yeah, but he still got it, champ. I was moving with him the other day.
Wow.
He still got it.
Wow.
Bo, too. Riddick Bo. He in the gym with me every day.
Really?
Every day. Every
day.
Yep. He lives in Florida. He's a great guy.
Is Holyfield in Florida too?
Yes, he is. Yep.
Wow. So he still trains all the time?
Every day.
How come he doesn't fight anymore?
He chilling. He like, yo, you
just said enough's enough.
He chilling.
We're good?
Yeah, he chilling.
Wow. So when you work with a strength and conditioning coach, like, what is like a week in the life of Shannon Briggs when it comes to training? Like, say if this fight gets signed and you know you're going to get started, how do you organize your weeks?
I already started, but what I'm doing is basically I'm using a strength and conditioning day with boxing, a running day with boxing, a rest day, a strength and conditioning day with boxing, a run day, then another run day.
You ever fuck with yoga?
The best, yes.
Do you?
Christine is great, yeah.
So you got all kinds of stuff going on, flexibility,
I'm doing everything I can do possibly, cryo machine, you name it, hyperbaric chambers, everything I could do, I'm looking for the edge because they got it, champ. I'm broke. They got money. So imagine what they got. And now I'm scrambling to get everything I can get, you know what I mean, to get to the next level.
I know. Yeah. I see it in you, man. And I'm like many other people, rooting for you.
Thank you, champ.
It's frustrating when I see you getting close to these fights with guys like David Haye.
Yeah.
And then it falls apart.
He is such a sucker.
What happened with him? He said he was going
to
fight you.
I went over to England, champ, and they showed me nothing but love. They seen the true character of who he really is, and that he ain't really a good dude, man. He's not. He's a businessman, but he's also like a, you know, he's a weird dude, man. You know what I mean? You know, I shook his hand. We said we had to go. It would be great for a great fight, win, lose, or draw for either one of us. And everything was set. And I did everything they needed me to do. And then he just deaded the, he felt he was looking for another deal. And the truth of the matter is, I heard this from inside, that he was like, he's too dangerous. You know, that's just the bottom line, which is what they all
say. Well, he's a fairly small heavyweight.
Yeah, I smashed him up. That was an easy win for me. That was a layup. I was like, oh, look at him. I'm going to smash. And he was scared. I looked, seen it in his eyes. I'm from Brownsville. I got one thing. I can smell when you're scared. I'm from the same neighborhood as Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe. I know when a man's scared. I went up on him, Joe. I looked in his eyes. I seen his lips. He was trembling. He was scared. I could smell it. I was like, oh. I said, this is a layup. This is a layup, champ. This is an easy one, champ. Yeah.
What does he weigh? He's not like a heavy guy.
Nah, I had that one, champ. I could see me just snatching him.
Then he went vegan, too. He went vegan, so he lost even more weight, probably.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm eating bulls and cows and all types of dinosaurs. I'm straight animal.
What is your diet like? How do you organize your diet?
Organic everything, you know what I'm saying? Just to try to, you know, if it's
camping
mental,
out at
mental.
Whole Foods.
I camp out. They know me well. You know what I'm saying? You know, they should be sponsoring me. Shout out to Whole Foods. I'm there every day. It's $150 to $200 a day for the family. Yeah, it's every day. Every day for the last 4 years, we've been eating from Whole Foods.
$150 every day. It's not cheap.
$150 to $200 every day of it's been. And I'm not bragging. I'm actually complaining. But that's what it took because no sugar. I'm eating right. I use coconut sugar. You know what I'm saying? I just tried to do the best I can considering I'm not a nutritionist. I live on my iPhone. As you can tell, I'm always posting. I'm always looking for new recipes or the next edge. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The best I can for myself. So I eat fairly well. All organic meats. I don't eat pork. I don't eat shellfish. No dairy. You know what I mean? I'm just keeping it as best I can.
Do you get your blood work monitored?
I do that as well. Yeah. You know, I try to keep my levels where they need to be.
Do you supplement? Like, do you take?
No, unfortunately,
vitamins,
no, not right
nothing?
Now. Not right now. Some CBD that I've been, you know, and I was ahead of the game with that too, champ. And I'm not trying to give myself a blowjob, but I was suffering from depression, champ. And I was fortunate to I went and got like 10 different MRIs, and I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm always depressed. I'm always feeling like, you know, I feel anxiety overcoming me, and I was given this and that, and then I was hip to CBD 4 years ago, and life-changing experience, you know what I mean? But I'm here, champ. I'm here.
Well, CBD, it's an interesting thing because it's a part of marijuana, but it's not psychoactive.
Not
so
at all.
A lot of people, like they hear about it and they get worried about it.
Right,
they feel like it's drugs.
Yes, yes.
But it has nothing to do with that. It's like one of the beneficial parts of the plant.
Right.
Just eliminates inflammation. And for people that have arthritis or all kinds of other injuries or just hard training like you're doing.
And I was drinking since I was a kid, you know what I mean, honestly. And I had a family member that was a marijuana smoker, and this person was abusive to me, very abusive physically and mentally. And so the smell of marijuana was something that always reminded me of those times as a child. So, you know what I mean, growing up. So I never was attracted to weed ever. But drinking was my game, which was worse. You know, I was drinking since I was a kid, and I shouldn't have been. And it's just, they let me down some dark days.
Were you drinking during training camps?
Not really. I was never that type of drinker. But after a fight, you know, celebration, Heineken and Hennessy was, you know, chasing and just being, you know, a kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Being an idiot. Not a kid, being an idiot.
And how did you get off it?
My daughter, man, you know, my daughter, you know, I was taking, like I said, I was taking the different antidepressants, and they gave me Xanax as well. And my mom was a heroin addict, like I told you, crack, and, you know, she died on my birthday of an overdose. And I said, if I was ever hooked on drugs, I'd rather die than, you know what I'm saying, be a slave or hooked on something. And I remember not taking the Xanax for a couple of days and just having, like, the jitters. And I was like, yo, this is horrible. And that happened. That went on for like 6 months. And I was blessed. And when I was introduced to CBD, because my life changed, I went from not knowing what I was going to do and fearful to calming down. And this is all from my past. So many things happened to me as a kid. I don't need to harp on, but my childhood was rough. And people don't realize how much kids internalize and become adults. A broken kid is a worse adult.
It forms you.
Yeah, it forms you. And when I got money, champ, I was 20 years old. My manager, you know, moved me out to Jersey. I was living in South Orange first. West Orange, big mansion, you know what I'm saying? I always lived in a nice house. I had a car. But I had no money. But I had the things that, You know what I'm saying? Well, to me, I made it. I had a credit card, I could get clothes. All I had to do was fight. So I had a nice thing going, but I wasn't really dealing with the fact that my mom was on drugs, my dad was in jail. You know what I'm saying?
You weren't at peace.
I wasn't nowhere near peace. I didn't know what, and that's what yoga's done for me. Yoga has done that for me. People, you know, they see the crazy side of me. Like, I'm like the spiritual crazy warrior. Don't even say spiritual, because I'm not even spirit. I'm just like the crazy warrior. But I get centered when I have to. And that's what I'm learning. Like, I never knew how to turn on the Let's Go champ.
Mm-mm.
I tell everyone, listen, there is a champion with all of us. People see me hype, how I go from, that's me turning on the champ. Champ! That's me turning on the champ, because I didn't know how to do that. That's why I said I'm in the best shape ever, because now I can zone out. I was on my way over here, champ, in the car. And I was like, damn, I'm nervous. And let me tell you why. When I was fat and depressed and down and out, I was watching you. And I said, damn, I need to get my shit together. And to do that, one day I'll be on Joe Rogan's show. And I'm not bullshitting you. Anybody can say whatever they want to say. I'm sitting, be honest with you. So on the way over here, I was mad nervous. But I was like, let's go, champ.
No need to be let's nervous, man. You know, one of the things I love about you, too? Like, you push that positivity on other people, and you want them to be positive, too. It's not just about you.
Nah.
Like, you call everybody champ. Everybody's a champ. You get, they're all smiling. Yeah. You look at your videos. That's real. That's
I'm
a real
happy,
thing.
Man, because I'm happy to be alive, Joe. I wanted to kill myself. So many kids commit suicide around the world, champ. I've got thousands of emails and texts. Kid you not. I can show you my phone. Thousands of emails and texts from people around the world. Said, champ, I was suffering from depression, and I wanted to kill myself. But thanks to you watching your videos, I'm motivated. And I'm not BSing you. Thousands, over 15,000 of people telling me, champ, thank you, champ, thank you. So this, for me, is amazing. No publicist, no company behind me. This is just me and Craig.
That's all you need, though. That's,
you know what I'm
the
saying?
Beautiful
yeah,
thing.
You feel me? But that's why I feel good, champ.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, damn, if this was not real, organic, I'd be like, okay. I could be like, you know, but this is just real.
Right. It's not like a marketing
gimmick. Nah, it's me, champ. And this, I'm either going to win, lose, or draw. It ain't going to be no losing being who I'm going to be for once in my life.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about social media, is that it lets you be you 100%. Right. Like, there's no director going,
let's go, champ.
Yeah, there's no director going, Shannon, I see what you're saying, but now I want something different from you.
Right,
we've got the Let's Go Champ.
Right. I'm sticking. I tell people when it comes to that, people say, oh, it's boring. You know, you do the same thing all the time. It's just
fuck
me,
them.
Champ. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? It's boring. You watch it too much. Come back later.
Yes.
Come back later,
that's
champ.
Exactly. Look, you know? I tell people that about my podcast. You know, they go, man, I'm tired of listening to you. Good. Take some time off.
There
I get tired
go.
Of me too.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
Take some time off.
That's right. That's
I'm
all.
Not changing shit.
Champ.
Just
man,
relax.
Joe, I'm happy to be here. I ain't gonna
I'm
lie
happy
to you, champ.
To have you
I'm
here,
happy
man.
To be here, man. This feels good, man, for real. I needed to vent too, as you can hear. You know what I mean? I needed to vent a little bit about the Alice thing. And not that, you know what I mean? I held it in all this time because it's fuel.
Sure.
I ain't gonna lie. You know, I watched it many days and said, damn, man, like, you know, why you threw me under the bus like that? And, you know what I mean? It hurt. So now I
he's
spoke
a hard
about
man.
It.
Yeah. He's a hard
I got
a, man.
By the way, I got a huge article coming out for ESPN by Brand Jonathan Butler. It's unreal. For him to do this piece, he's the guy who's done, like, he's done some amazing pieces, champ. Mike Tyson, Tupac. He's done some amazing pieces. He's got a piece coming out that's going to be unreal end of the month. It's, not that I'm plugging him, but I just want you to know this is going to be unreal.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's going to be on ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN. It's going to be sick.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
That's giant.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of momentum in your side. It's just a matter of getting a fight signed.
Yeah.
You know, and the heavyweight division right now is pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's done. The fight's done. The fight's done. I'm just saying, for Brown and those people to act like they had they were going to grab the bull by the horn and not be able to come with a deal. You know, they had to. I think they have a couple days until we go to purse bid. Like, if that was the case, we should have just went to purse bid. I'm ready now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm ready now. I don't want no more delays. I don't want to play with this boy. I'm not calling him a boy. I don't want to play with this man, this young man, with a family. I don't want to play with him. I want the bell to ring because he's in my way. Excuse
me,
champ.
I understand.
But he's in my way.
Right.
And there's nothing, like, people don't understand. Like, you could call me crazy, but that's okay. Look, in my mind, this is, like, already written. Destiny. I was out of shape. I was down and out. I wanted to kill myself. And now I came back with nothing behind me but the people. The people's chair. Everywhere I go, he's in my way. He's just like a tornado coming. He's the road. I'm going to tear him apart. He's just in my way because I got a bigger picture, champ. All the belts. I want the people around the world. Yeah, all the belts, champ. I want people all around the world to be like, yo, hear my story. I don't have a great record. I've got like five, six losses. Who knows? I had ups and downs. I've never been considered a great, but I fought guys who will tell you on the low, man, he get busy. Ask Lennox Lewis. They'll tell you guys who know me or who box. Ask Chris Bird. They say, you know what? I never really seen Shannon. They never really seen Shannon. I'm honest, I'm keeping it real. They never seen me. They're gonna see me. When this fight gets done, they're gonna see me. They're gonna see the real Shannon. They're gonna say, wow, we didn't know you had all that talent. We didn't know. Let's go, champ. Yeah, they're going to see it, champ. They're going to see it for real. This is a lot of suffering and pain, champ. And a lot of love, too, because they're all around the world. They're saying, let's go, champ, and they're feeling the positivity. And they're saying, you know what, champ? We behind you, man. The people, champ. That's not happening in boxing, champ. And that is another reason that's fueling me. Look at the boxing. Look at the state of the heavyweight division. It was flat before me, champ. Klitschko was doing nothing but sticking up the division for years. Grab hold.
Yeah.
Come on, champ. You're the heavyweight champion of the world. You're supposed to be the biggest prize in sports. You're supposed to be out there doing interviews. You're supposed to be Muhammad Ali of the state. Kids around the world are supposed to know who the heavyweight champion of the world. When I was out there trying to campaign, and even to this day, you ask somebody who's the heavyweight champion of the world, they don't even know.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knows now.
And he was a white guy.
Yeah, but ask them now they don't even know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Now you go around, and people call me one thing, champ.
Yeah.
They say champ when you're fighting.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm talking about. Bringing back the energy to the game. Listen, people told me all the time, the people in the game. And I hear people, you know, rag you. I see on the comments, rag me to you and this and third. And I appreciate you, champ, for, you know, holding me down. But listen to this, champ. Listen to this, champ. The people inside of boxing is one thing. Inside of contact sports is one thing. But when you got people who don't watch boxing, who don't never watch boxing, saying, hey, champ, I watch you, champ. It's social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's social media. Yeah. You feel me?
100%.
That's what's doing it. So that's my goal. That's my point. The boxing people, cool. Not that I don't want them to know me. I'm not trying to alienate them and say, oh, no, fuck them. I'm saying, that's cool. I love y'all. Oh, you don't like me. I know. I suck. I'm this and the third. But the outside people all around the world who don't watch boxing, the ladies, the kids, it's the champ, Shannon the Cannon, the kids. That's who I want. I want, right. Because that's what I have right now.
Right.
Kids everywhere. I came out of a place the other day, and a kid, I know he wasn't a boxing fan, he said, hey, champ. I said, wow, I felt good, champ. I felt good, bro. I was like, that was like a Wheaties moment, champ. You feel me? I felt like a Wheaties moment. Like, hey, champ. You know what I mean? And that's what I want, man. I want people to be excited about boxing because boxing saved my life. Every time I left the game, champ, my life fell down.
Well, there was a long period of time while Klitschko was a heavyweight champion where literally no one could tell you outside of real hardcore boxing fans who the heavyweight champ was.
In America, right.
And that was never the case. You would ask people who's the heavyweight champion, and they would, oh, it's Mike Tyson, it's Lennox Lewis, it's Evander Holyfield, whoever it was. But for a long period, no one cared. It was just such a boring style.
Yeah, he didn't want to mix it up and put it on the line. He was more concerned with his legacy, I guess, and playing it safe. And, you know what I mean? I think it's like, if you look at wrestling or even like MMA, like, you guys come back. You guys fight and you lose. Okay, you come back. You fight again.
Yeah.
There's no set schedule one with these guys with boxing. And then guys don't want to lose, you know? And then they fighting guys. They fighting what I call pies. You know, they fighting pies just to stack up their record.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they got great records. And we all do it. You got to pass. It's the game. Unfortunately, it's the game. But if you were telling me, look, you can fight Klitschko and win, lose, or draw. You're guaranteed going to fight another fight for $3 million. You'd fight this guy all the time.
Right.
But what happens when you lose, now you go back to making $500 a fight, $5,000 a fight. So guys don't want to lose.
Right.
It's just part of the game.
In boxing, the record, the winning record is so much more important than in MMA.
Yes,
in MMA, it's just about being exciting. If a guy has some losses, nobody gives a shit.
Right. You know, I'm 4K1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4K1,
right?
Champ.
What was that like? Getting leg kicked.
The worst thing ever. Never again. The worst thing ever.
Who did you fight?
Erickson?
Tom Erickson.
Tom Erickson.
Yeah, Tom was a wrestler.
Champ. Yeah. Well, he kicked the shit out of me, champ.
Yeah.
I think I'm the first guy ever to scream in the history.
Did you train at all leg kicks before?
I did. I did. And it was for nothing because he kicked the hell out of me, champ.
He's a big fella.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. It felt like it sounded like two bats hitting together. Pop! 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 I said, if he kicked me one more time, I got to go down. I can't take it.
Wow.
I don't care. You know, I said, I can't take it. If he one more, he kicked me again. Pow! I said, that's it. And I jabbed him to the body. Boof! And he looked at me because I'm able to read fast. You got to be able to read within tenths of a second, milliseconds in boxing. I read in his eyes that wasn't that bad. Like, he must have felt like it wasn't that strong of a punch that he could come in. He came in to punch at that point. And when he came in to punch, I let the cannon go. The left, right. Poof, hit him, champ. Got him on top of the head. Sheesh. Let's go, champ. Got him, champ. I get excited because I know the feeling now. Right. I've tapped in. All these years I was playing with the game. Now I finally tapped in because I focused and concentrated on just doing this, that now I know how to put it there. I know how. This is my gift. This has been my gift. I've had a rough life, but my gift is that I have a talent in something that I've always kind of ran from. I've had my own reasons, but now I've got it. I've channeled this shit.
How did the K-1 thing come about?
Oh, man, Herman Caicedo. Shout out to Herman. Me and the hustle, me and the struggle, trying to make some bread, man. I'm a businessman. You know, I'm a working man, not a businessman. I'm a working man. And it's work. You know what I mean? If I was going to fight in UFC. I came out to Vegas, champ. Dana put me up at the Palm or somewhere. MG, he put me up in a suite. He was talking about me fighting. What's my boy name? The big white dude. Back in the days, I want to say around 2005, 2006.
Randy Couture?
No.
No?
Big tall, white dude. Tall.
Tall white dude. Yeah. Tim Sylvia?
No, give me
Stephen
one more.
Stephen Struve?
No. Mm.
Was he, how highly ranked was the guy?
He was the one. He became the champ.
Okay.
He wanted me to fight him. They flew me in. Dana know me well.
It
Dana
wasn't Tim Sylvia?
Not Tim Sylvia. Was it
that
Tim
was,
Sylvia?
It was before Tim Sylvia, probably.
It was a tall dude, real tall.
Or after, rather, Tim Sylvia.
Tall white dude. He wound up fighting.
Tim Sylvia fought Ray Mercer, and Ray Mercer knocked him out with one punch. He fought Ray. Oh, okay. That's him. Mm. Wait a minute. Ray Mercer also fought.
Nah, Ray Mercer ain't beat him.
No.
Ray Mercer fought
Kimbo Slice and Kimbo guillotined him. And then Ray Mercer fought Tim Sylvia. And it was supposed to be a boxing match, but the athletic commission wouldn't sanction it for a boxing match because Tim Sylvia didn't have any boxing matches.
Right. I have to see his picture, though. If I see a picture, I can tell you. Tall, and his hair was hanging down, like, lying along. He could box,
Andre
though.
Andre Arlovsky?
He could box, though. The kid, he could box. He had some good shit, though, with his hands. I don't know of his name, but dude could get busy. I was going to fight. He asked me to fight him. We were like, look, Herman was negotiating for me again. He was like, yo, give us somebody a little easier because they wanted me to fight, what's his name? Not Mark Hunt. The black brother. What's his name? Over. He was fighting K-1 for a while. He fought UFC 2.
Gary Goodridge?
Gary Goodridge. Let's go, champ.
Big daddy.
They wanted me to fight Goodridge, champ. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, champ. I've been in the game, champ.
So did you take any wrestling classes or anything?
You want ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Let's go, champ. American Top Team. Dan Lambert. That's how I got.
Okay.
That's my boy. Dan is my boy, man. Dan is my homie. Dan, when they were in a storefront in Boca, no gym, a storefront in Boca, I went down there because they wanted me to teach them boxing. That was like 2001.
Wow.
And I started messing with them, and I was doing some taekwondo, and I was doing MMA, you know, jiu-jitsu and all that, and it was kicking my ass, but I was loving it. I was getting strong. I was like, yo, this may be a great type of thing to cross up with the boxing, because when I'm in the clinches, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Big difference in the clinches, right?
Huge, man. That's why strength training is important.
Yeah.
It's important for boxers now, in these days.
So what happened? How come you never wound up doing an MMA fight?
Besides not wanting to get my ass kicked, you know, just...
Wrestling's hard on the body.
Hard, brutal. Brutal.
The joints, the neck, the brutal. Back. Yeah.
It'd be like me playing basketball. I can't dribble. I'm like the only black man in the world can't dribble basketball. I can't catch a football, you know?
Wow. So you just decided it's just not for
not
you.
Safe. Back after that K-1 experience, man, I tell you, champ, I was like, man. Because you know what's funny? Because I went back to the hotel, and I was chilling. I was laying in bed, and I went to sleep. I just had a little couple bruises. And when I woke up, my entire both legs were black and blue. I was like, I panicked. I was like, oh, snap. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yo, Herman, just get me out of here. They paid me well, champ. I might have made, like, in over 2 years, I made a good chunk of change over there. I don't want the IRS chasing me down. I don't got no bread. Let's go, champ. I mean, it was fun. Let's go, champ.
So you decided one and done with K-1.
Yeah, K-1 wasn't the thing for me. But I love it. I love watching it. And I think that the training was tremendous for me. I was in a gym the other day. What was his name? Tyrone Sponge?
Mm-hmm.
That's the champ for real.
Tyrone Sponge's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, he's the man for real. Let's go, champ. He says he's going to help me out with my kickboxing, you know what I mean? Because I think he definitely helped my boxing.
Yeah, he's in the borderline. Like, he's been doing a lot of boxing matches and not exactly sure if he's going back to kickboxing. Yeah. He'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, though. I mean, he's just waiting for the right contract. Whether it's MMA or anything.
He's a beast.
He's very talented.
He's a beast, man.
Very smart dude, too. He's on the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to be working with him for this fight as well.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So when do, so you said you're like very close to purse bids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happening 100% whether this guy is in or not.
If they give me the belt and a box, I'll take it. I'd rather win it in the ring.
Right.
But you know, I'm frustrated. I ain't gonna lie to you, champ. I'm very frustrated. I'm trying to be happy about, you know, my situation because I am getting a fight. But again, the politics of boxing, where the ups and downs, these managers and are shifty, and they saying one thing and they're telling me to wait. I don't know why. See, the whole thing with me is like what happened with Hay, and it's happened to me so many times. I live in fear that I'm gonna get shagged. Like, okay, what are they gonna shag me with now? Because they're delaying. So what's next? You know what I mean? I'm expecting something. If nothing happens, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm ready.
It's got to be a weird situation for you, right?
Yeah, it's all good, champ. I'm the champ, and this is what they got to do to try to keep me down.
Well, the heavyweight division right now is exciting, though.
Yeah, it's pumping now, thanks to the champ.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good stuff happening, right?
Yeah.
And what did you think about Ortiz's fight the other night?
It was
shocking that he went the distance, right?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all, because he fought Malik Scott, who is a guy who's in top shape. Look at his Instagram. Mm-hmm. Always training.
Fought very, very defensively.
Very defensive, which is hard to beat a guy like that. It's hard to knock out a guy who don't want to get knocked out, champ.
Right.
You feel me? Yeah. A guy say, I'm not getting knocked out. He's going to do whatever he can not to get knocked out. Doesn't mean he's going to fight you back. And it means he didn't get knocked out. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
No, not the Ortiz, but, you know, he did what he had to do. It just happens.
Well, there was once Instagram where you're mocking Deontay Wilder's technique. Like his legs coming up off the ground when he was punching.
I actually like him, but you know what?
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, that for real. I like him, actually. I think he can fight. I think he's very talented. I think he's dangerous to anybody, including myself. He's a vicious puncher. He's a wild puncher. He's one of those bony, strong. You know, those bony dudes hit you, boy. Woo, you're finished. You know what I mean? So he's dangerous. He can punch. You know, he kind of like, you know, not that he offended me, because I don't give a shit, you know what I'm saying? But he kind of took it, like, personal that I was coming after him. And I wasn't, you know, I'm a jokester, man. I like to have fun and bug out. He kind of took it, like, a little bit like, oh, you know, this and that. I'm like, champ, I ain't like that. You know what? I'm not a street dude, but I really am. Could be whatever you want me to be, because I'm from the streets, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, don't do that, you know what I mean? Because
trying to hype up a fight.
Yeah, that's what I do. But I get busy. If you touch me, if you make me, if you put me to that point in the street anywhere, I'm known. And I don't want to be, I'm not that type of person, but I'll defend the champ because I got to make it home to my babies. I love them. You feel me? So I ain't going to let nobody ever hurt the champ.
Did you ever see that video where Deontay Wilder boxed some internet troll?
Beat the shit out of him. Yeah,
I seen that. That guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna knock Deontay Wilder out. I'm gonna knock out Lucas Brown, and then I'm gonna let Beyonce Wilder you know what I'm saying, put up his BC belt, and I'm gonna knock him flat, starch out, starch.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I would like to see the fight for sure.
Yeah, let's go, champ.
Yeah, let's go, champ. The hat is out.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when you're 45 years old in December.
Yes, December 4th.
Realistically, how much more time do you think you're going to be fighting?
After I knock out Brown, and hopefully I'll get the winner of Klitschko and Joshua, Anthony Joshua, who's a tremendous talent. After that, you know, I'll go after... Whoever has the belt, man, I'm going to keep. Like Larry Holmes said, don't stop. Larry told me don't stop. He said, keep fighting. That's what you do. Make money. Have fun. Enjoy your life. And who's having more fun than me? Everywhere I go, champ, people be all saying, they're happy. They're motivated. And that's to me, it's for the first time in my life, giving me some purpose. Other than making money, I've been struggling to make money since I came home from school and didn't have a place to live. For once in my life, I'm doing something that's not involved, like me using the money from a fight to buy a car and look fancy and, you know, hang out. I'm just being myself. I'm a bum. Champ's a bum. I don't have clothes, you know what I'm saying? I refuse because that was part of my downfall, you know, wanting things, wanting material things, to finding power and things like that to make myself feel good. Yeah, I'm going to go buy a new car. I'm going to buy a chain. I'm going to buy a hat. I'm going to buy this expensive Fendi sweater. Nah, the champ don't do none of that shit. The champ dressed like a bum. This is me, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not putting value in that anymore. What I'm finding so amazing is that everywhere I go, people are saying, hey, champ, thanks for the videos, man. We love you, man. Can I get a picture? Can I get a video? That nothing can outdo that, champ, because I've had a little bit of money. Never made a lot of money, like those guys with hundreds of millions of dollars, but I made a little bit of money for me to feel good, you know what I'm saying? But I never felt love, you know? My mom was in the streets trying to, you know, put a roof over our head. I never had a dad, you know what I'm saying? I never had a brother and sister. I was basically on my own. You know, if you look at my personality, you can tell I watched a lot of television. I grew up reading comic books, you know, cartoons. So I never had love. And to have what I feel is love from people who genuinely don't know me and just see me and say, man, thank you. The emails, that's more fulfilling than anything I've ever felt. You feel me?
I do feel you.
Thank you,
I think,
Jeff.
It's important, man. I think your message is important. And what you're saying about having all that bullshit, all the material possessions and counting on it. You know, I remember Chuck D talking about that once. You know, it was during the height of when people had giant wheels on their fucking cars.
Ball,
and
the balling era.
And he was like, I drive a Ford Explorer. Mm. And he's like, and I don't put any power in that shit
at
all.
I felt so sad that I was a slave to it. I feel so miserable when I think about the days that I spent money on sweaters, cars, jewelry, bottles at the club. I'm just like, damn, what was I doing?
A lot of athletes go broke trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's a big thing.
But it's part of our culture because we never had shit.
Right.
So, you know, now we're like, you're feeling good because someone's admiring you for anything. The admiration is what becomes intoxication. You know, that's intoxifying. Right. And for me, it was that as well. You know, I'm finding gratitude and things that, you know, I was smart, though, because I always wanted to keep a place, a roof over my head, and I'll put value in that as well. But, you know, a lot of things, too, was for showing off for other people. And that once I was able to get past that, and that was, you know, part of me was cutting my hair, you know, having locks for 27 years. And people, when I cut my hair, man, just the response from people was just, it was amazing. Just the people would look at me like, wow, look at you. You cut your hair, you finish. You'll never be nothing. Oh, boxing's over for you.
Why did they think it was over because you cut your hair? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Bro, it was the sickest thing. It was like the most eye-opening thing. And people were literally like, they were telling me, but I could also see deeper into what they were saying. Like, you're finished. You'll never make another movie. You'll never fight. You're just like, that was your marketing tool, that you were just your hair. I was like, no, I can really fight. You know, I was like, no, I really got hands. And they were like, you know, and no one believed in me. So that's what makes this thing even more powerful, that the fact that I got rid of that hair and I'm still doing my thing. I'm still the champ.
What a weird thing for people to focus on, dreadlocks.
Yeah, marketing. They looked at it like it was a marketing.
Well, it was back in the day. That was a big part of who you were. I mean, they always marketed your hair.
Right.
The crazy dreadlocks.
Right. I understand, but I don't understand because if you know me, you really know me that's just nothing. That was and again, the hair was blocking me. The hair was blocking my vibe because I was like, yo, this hair, the hair had its own personality. You feel me? The hair had its own personality. And then there's really Shannon and cutting the hair and seeing how people treated me. I was like, you know what? It's cool. I'm just going to be me. You know, I'm not going to try to talk correct or, you know what I'm saying? My diction's going to be what it's going to be. People tell me, oh, Shannon, why don't you do movies? Why don't you do this, Champ? Listen, I don't speak well, Champ. I'm hardcore ghetto, if you want to call
great.
It that.
I understand every word you're saying.
Thank you, Champ. But listen, you know what I mean? I'm not the type. You feel me? I'm just keeping it real. Like, I've learned one thing, and shout out to Chris Lawrence, stay in your lane. You know, and that's one of his best sayings, and I hear him say it all the time. But it's true. I learned that. Stay in my lane, Champ. You know,
well, you know what you're really good at?
What's that,
you're
Champ?
You're really good at being Shannon.
Let's go, Jack.
That's what you're really good at.
And
that's you're
it.
Really
and
good
that's
at being
it.
You.
That's it. And that took me, and thank you again, one more time. And no, and I mean that because that's what I didn't know who I was. I grew up overnight.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, it takes a long time for everybody if everything's worked out perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, man, everybody, every person has ever lived. No one ever feels. If you do, you're a fool.
Yeah.
If you're like 18 years old, you got it all figured out, get the fuck out of here.
I thought I did because I had my own apartment when I was like 15.
Right.
So I was like, you know, not my own, but I had an apartment when I was 15. It was like what do you call it when you are living in a place? You're squatting in a sense. But, you know, I was like, I've been on my own all my life. A friend of mine, Jesse Robinson, said to me one day, he said, you know, champ, you basically been making your own decisions since you was a kid.
But now you understand yourself better.
Yeah. I didn't know who the fuck I was, champ.
Right.
I didn't know who I was. I just knew that I was living.
Well, going through all the bad times, I think, is probably what has made your character so strong today. And now that everything's good, you understand the importance of keeping it good. That's why this positive message that you keep pumping out.
Yeah.
And that's why this, let's go, champ.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's
I'm one sip away infectious. From, I'm one sip away of fruit punch from not feeling good. I went to Roscoe's yesterday. You know, great food, I guess. You know,
chicken and waffles.
Yeah, and I took a sip of the, what's it called? The lemonade sunrise, I don't know, the fruit punch,
that
and the sugar
sugary shit
got
yeah.
me thinking bad. I was like, oh, man, I feel terrible. Like, so again, I say that. You say I'm on the path, and that's the great path. But so it's so crucial. Diet's important.
Yeah.
Who I'm around is important. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the energy. You feel me? If I'm around somebody doing some negative shit, I'm not on that.
Yeah.
So I don't need to be around this person. I don't even listen to, like, that much hip-hop. I listen to beats. I don't even, because I don't want to hear you drinking,
negative,
you smoking,
right.
You want to screw this girl, you this, you that, you got this car, I got the watch. I don't need that, champ. I already went through that. And that was a bad portion of my life. The 90s is something that I wish never happened that I can remember. The 90s, and oh, until 4 years ago, I don't feel like I was alive.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't feel like I was alive. And that's credit to my, you know, to my family, man, my wife and kids, man. They really held me down. I'm crazy, champ. I'm not, this ain't no act. I'm really, I've been through some shit.
I believe you.
Yeah, I've been through some shit, man, you know.
What is all that crazy music you play in the background when you do your videos?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's just beats, champ. Shout out to the Loud Lord, OG Tax. These are just beats. Crazy K, all the people, man, you know what I'm saying? Courtney Scott, all the people. She's a female from L.A., makes beats. She's amazing. I mean, I had to, like, do a detox. Like, I don't watch certain things television. You know, you flicking the channel, what you got, First 48, Lock Up. You got Negativity, the news. I had to do a detox from the news lately. I don't watch any more news. The presidential election, all this shit is going crazy. I don't want to be involved no more because I'm involved with something else.
Right.
Boxing. I'm focused on Lucas Brown. I can't focus on Trump and Hillary. I got to focus on Shannon Briggs and me and Lucas locking ass whenever we get a date. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I've learned to, like, put things in perspective. Shannon, this ain't for you. I can't watch the internet and watch so much brutal knockout videos and this girl's doing that and this guy. I don't need to be involved with that. And that's what a lot of people need to learn. And a lot of people follow me on kids and they say, thanks, champ. Because what I see the most damaging thing right now in America, around the world, forget that, around the world, is that kids don't have guidance. You know what I mean? So they got Uncle Champ. You feel me? Some kids, thousands of kids hit me like, you're like a dad to me, man. You know what I mean? I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have nothing. So they're looking at my videos. With days I don't want to make videos, Joe, I get texts, Champ, you okay? You know what I'm saying? You okay, Champ? We haven't heard from you in a couple of days. So I have a responsibility now. To help others, make them feel happy by being happy sometimes when I don't even feel happy.
Well, I think one of the things you're saying that's really important is you're talking about a mental diet as well as a physical diet.
100%.
And I think you really do have a mental diet. And if you just take in nothing but negative things all day and around negative people, and especially when you just expose yourself to 7 billion people's worth of news,
man.
And the only stuff that gets popular is the stuff that's fucked up.
Nasty shit, bro.
And it'll
nasty.
Fuck with your head.
Nasty. I mean, it really, not forget your head, because then it physically starts feeling, like, I felt so crazy with this election, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, physically, I was like, man, that's when I was like, you know what, that's it. I came home, I was like, that's it, no more. I told my wife, I said, please, do me a favor. If you want to watch this stuff, do me a favor. Please, just TiVo it and watch it when the champ's not around, because I can't. It's really affecting me because I got to worry about training.
Right.
I got to think about that. I don't want to be worried about what they do happens, going to happen. You know, it's going to affect me or it's not going to affect me. I'm going to deal with that then. But right now, I got to focus on me, and that's what I couldn't do, champ. And I don't blame anybody, but if you out there on prescription drugs, I was taking all types of inhalers all my life, since I was promising from early days. Kids, that stuff is bad for you mentally, champ.
Is it?
Bad for you mentally, man.
What does it do for you?
Oh, man, the anxiety, the jitters, the brain, the chemistry, what it does to your brain, man. It alters it, champ. All of you got to be careful. I'm not telling you, take your medicine, follow your doctors. I'm not telling anyone, don't listen to your doctors. But me personally, I had to go on a journey to find out how to save me. Because I went to every doctor. They don't know anything about hormones and this and that. They don't know anything. They don't know. I heard you once say, you want to find out about your hormones, find a super older doctor that looks great, that knows about this type of shit. Because when you're feeling depressed and your testosterone is like 80 or 20, you feel like killing yourself, champ. You got to do something. People can't give you, hand you a bunch of pills and say, this is going to make you feel better. You're still going to have low tests, which for a man is going to make you feel like a bitch.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, but it's just a fact. So all these different factors play a role. And also, again, back to what you're saying, what you're watching, the mental diet. If you're watching people getting killed all day, you're going to feel a certain way. It's all this shit is going in your brain and your mental storage. You feel me? And mm-hmm. now you're just wondering why. And then you're eating sugar. You're eating cookies and donuts and fast food and Chinese food. This shit ain't helping you either, champ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I'm telling people every day. Champ, leave it alone. It's too tempting. Everywhere you go, you see fast food. Take the food home and cook it yourself.
Yeah.
We've got to try to better. And it's not. And the problem is, it's not cheap. Right. Who can afford to go to Whole Foods every day?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who can help? Yeah. It's hard. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Who can afford every day to spend $150, $200 for their family a day, every day? That shit is hard, champ.
I think what you're saying is very important. It's very, very important about a mental and a physical diet. It's the same thing in that, like when you're watching all the violence on television or all the negative news, it's like sugar.
Yeah.
Where it's very compelling and easy to take in and not good for you.
Terrible. I had that sugar drink last night, man, and three sips in, I was like, because I'm not used to it.
Right.
And I was like, I was like, yo, champ. This is what people drinking every day.
All day, every day.
Like it's
day.
Nothing. And I was that pee. I was dumb.
Yeah.
How was I able to do it? Now I can't take a sip.
It's crazy how your body adjusts.
Amazing.
Your body adapts to not having sugar and feeling healthy. And then when you do have something that's unhealthy, you feel it, like you really feel it, like deep
mood.
In your body. Yeah.
And your mood change. You feel me?
I crashed.
Yeah, man.
I had a cheeseburger and a milkshake, man, and it was like somebody hit me with a tranquilizer dart. I felt terrible.
I'm telling you, bro. It's crazy.
Before I would eat that, and it'd be nothing.
Crazy.
But I think what you're saying, I think, is very important for people to take in, you know, and having a person like you who's experienced these great highs and lows and then come out of it with this positive energy, that is so powerful for people. That's such an important motivational thing for other people, though, man.
There's no other way.
Yeah. As much as you're helping yourself, and I know you're helping yourself, mm-hmm. you're helping a lot of people, man. You really are.
We're
helping
each other. No, we're helping each other. I mean, honestly, there's nothing. I said from the beginning that this ain't mine. You know, I patented it. I trademarked the name. I mean, I trademarked the saying and everything.
You trademarked Let's Go Champ?
I had to, champ. Go to letsgochamp.com. Yeah, I had to, you know. I had so many ups and downs. Like I told you, when I tell you no lie, bro, I got nothing to lie to you about. I was involved with some major deals when I'm talking about from at the top in the beginning in business and entertainment, and the champ didn't, you know, come out on a good side. So a lot of times enough to say, damn, am I stupid or something? Like, but you don't just trust and belief and getting shagged, champ.
It's a dirty business.
It's a dirty game,
boxing,
champ.
Boxing is
yeah.
dirty, filthy. And it's been dirty forever.
Business is dirty. All business is dirty. So that's what I learned. And you know, coming out where I am now, and you know, I trademarked it because I said, you know what? It was starting to, like, you know, fizzle when I was like, and I was really passionate about it because it's something that I was saying. Again, I didn't have nobody around me no more. I used to have friends with me all the time. I'm training, whatever. They all left. It was all moved on. So for me, I was like, no entourage, nobody to push me. I got to push myself. So I started talking to myself, something that I never did. And that's a whole other story I'm going to tell you in the book, why I refused to talk to myself.
Why did you refuse to talk to yourself? Tell me.
I was saving it for the book, Chad.
Fuck it. I'll sell the book, man. You let me know,
oh,
man. I'll put up links. I'll let people
man.
Know.
All right, well,
I'll buy it myself.
If we go on that route, then all right. No.
Come on.
No. But no, the reason why is because I had an uncle, my mother's brother, Anthony Parham. He was her only brother. He went to the military. He went to the Vietnam War as a child, you know, as a young man, 18 years old, when he left high school. He didn't have to because it was all sisters, and he wanted to go because everyone around the town, Jarrett, Virginia, everybody from his town, the young man were going, his uncle, cousins and everybody. So he went. He came back disturbed. He came back, you know, different than when he went in. He was actually missing for quite a time. They were going to declare him dead when he showed up one day with a trench coat on, army boots, and naked.
Whoa.
In Halsey Street in Brooklyn. So this led to him being mentally disturbed all my life. He would talk to himself. He lived with us. I slept in a twin bed here, and he slept in the bed there. And he was, you know, when he drank, he became very violent. You know, he beat my mom up one time really bad, closed her head, eyes up. And him talking to himself was something I grew up all my life watching. And I'm like, ain't me crazy. You call him ain't me. Ain't me, you crazy. You crazy talking to yourself. So And I got older, I would just refuse to even have a conversation with myself. Oh, you crazy. If you. And 4 years ago, I started having conversations with myself, champ. And I was like, yo, you know what, champ? You got to go. And I started saying, let's go, champ. And I was like, man, I asked my wife, I said, you think I'm crazy because I spoke? She was like, oh, yeah, we already know you're crazy. You know what I mean? So I'm like, let's go, champ. You know? And it was my mantra. It became my mantra. You know, my friend told me one of his mantras was, to be the man, you got to be the man. When he was tired, he was running mile 18. To be the man, you got to be the man.
Right.
To be the man, you got to be the man.
He just would say it to himself.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I need a mantra. And I was hitting the bag one day, and I was tired. I was like 400 pounds. And I was like, let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. You know, and it's in the head, champ. You know, when I'm feeling pain, you feeling pain, you feeling down, tell yourself, let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
Dude, I hear you when I work out sometimes.
Yeah, it's yours.
Pushing through a set. Let's
it's yours.
Go, champ.
Yeah, it's yours. It's everybody's. It's the people's, man. The people gave me this. The universe gave me this. The people linked into it, and it's not mine, it's ours. We just want to give each other positivity and love. And I meet people from everywhere, champ. I'm a little nuts because I go to every city or country, and people say, champ, I'm in the lobby or I'm in this town, can I meet you? And I say, come over to the hotel. And they come. You know what I mean? They come. I mean,
you might have to stop that when you win a title.
No,
it might get a little crazy.
Nah, I'm the people's champ. I'm here for the people.
Wow, man, that's strong.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you can motivate yourself, you motivate other people, you should definitely be able to motivate yourself as well.
Yeah, I'm not trying, though. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to like say I'm a guru, I'm a motivator, right. None of that. I'm just a dude who I'm showing people that I was down and out. I was flat on my face. I wanted to kill myself, and I didn't give up for the love of my family and now the love of the people that's saying let's go champ, that believe in me. I want to do it for them. You need a reason, you know, you need a purpose. Scott Hirsch, shout out to Scott Hirsch. He told me a long time ago, he said, you know, Shannon, I think the family thing environment is just out the blue in the conversation. He just said, you know, Shannon, we weren't even talking about anything. He said, you know, I just think the family plays a huge part of our development. I said, why you say that, Scott? He said, because it gives you a reason to go home at night. And I was like, damn, you know, we all need a reason. You know what I mean? Gives you a reason. And my family gives me a reason, and you give me a reason. And Snoop Dogg gave me a reason, and Cam'ron gave me a reason. Every popular rapper and unpopular rapper and guys who make beats, they gave me a reason because champ ain't feel good, man. I'm going to keep it real with you. A lot of days I ain't feel good, but when I got up and seen you or Snoop or Cam'ron or Reels or Chance or anybody out there that I know that was gave me a shout out or did pump that. You know, add this to someone else, I was like, damn, gave me a reason. And the reason became more and more. So I felt like I was taking in the energy from the people around the world. Every text, every meme, every DM, I feel like I'm getting stronger because now the people behind me, I never had nothing, Joe. I was on my own. I was a kid by myself, and now I got the world behind me. That's all I needed, champ.
You got a lot of people behind
you. I got the world, champ. I got 150, thanks to you as well, and everybody who promotes me. And those are my promoters, by the way, the people promote me. Thanks to you guys, I got like 150-something thousand people, 156,000 people following me, right? That to me is unreal. I started out with 9.
I remember when you talked about me on your Instagram because we were talking about you and how much I love your videos.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, shit, Shannon's listening.
Yeah,
I love
it. Let's go, champ. Thank
you.
It
got me excited, man.
This is excitement for me because I never had this. I never had the momentum. I never had nobody behind me. I got a reason. I feel like Rocky, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep fighting, you know what I'm saying? Adrian! You know, I feel like, you know, I got a reason, you know what I mean? I got a reason. I never had a reason except to try to make some money, to feed myself and my family, or to show off or get some shit, you know what I'm saying? Some Nevo Reach type of situation. Now, I don't care about the money. Of course I gotta have the money, don't get me wrong. And I wanna be paid accordingly. I'm bringing non-boxing fans to boxing. That deserves something. Now, I told you when I fought Vitaly Klitschko, they did the highest ratings ever. Not because of Klitschko, because of Shannon Briggs. He fought many people. Why so many with me? When I fought Lennox Lewis, highest ratings. When I fought George Foreman, highest ratings. I sell, champ. Now, I want to be paid for that, champ. This is a job. You know what I mean? I'm a mailman. I get up every day and go to work, do my job. But I want to be paid. I didn't get paid when I fought Klitschko, champ. I want to make money. I'm not stupid. You feel me? I was, but I'm not anymore.
That's not your primary motivation.
No. My primary motivation is the people are behind me, and I want to do something that never been done. I want to bring all these non-boxing fans like Muhammad Ali did. I want a Muhammad Ali moment. Not for me and for my ego, because I don't have it. I cut the hair already. I got a girl already. I got a wife. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about clothes. I don't want a Bentley. I don't care about that no more. I don't want none of that. I just want the people to say, champ, champ, champ. That'd make me feel good, champ. That'd make me feel good, man. That'd make me feel like, you know what? My mom looking at me and she could say, I'm proud of my boy. You feel me? He made something out of nothing. You know, we was homeless. People turned their back on us, champ. They wouldn't let us come in their place. Many nights we sat on the train, and many nights I didn't know if she was alive or dead. You know, and I was hoping and it was rough, man. And I want her to look at me and say, man, my boy made it. You know what I mean? And she said something before she died. She said, Shannon, when we lost everything, people said, you know, she said, she was like the big person in my family that was supposed to do something. This is all in the book. But she was supposed to be something. And she came to New York and she was living a life and she was making it, got a job, and she got on drugs. And she went from a beautiful woman to a woman who lost everything, but she had a son. And she took me sickly and all and stuck by my side. So I said, I'm going to make it. And she instilled in me, make it, Shannon, regardless of what you got to do, make it. And when people turned their back on us and we had nothing, Joe, she said, Shannon, one day we're going to have something and they're going to look at us different. You feel me? And she said to me before she died, she said, I didn't make it, but I made it through you. And that's what I'm doing this for. Because she made it through. She did make it. She made it through her son. And she wouldn't want me to give up. Asthma ain't no excuse. No manager ain't no excuse. No promoter ain't no excuse. Make it. And then I came out with social media. They came out with social media. And I'm making it, champ.
Well, you're making a lot of people happy too, man.
Thank you, champ.
A lot of excitement.
Thank you, champ.
You provide a lot of motivation.
Thank you,
champ. A lot of enthusiasm.
Let me loose.
I'm in your corner, brother.
Let me loose.
I'm in your corner.
Mac, thank you, champ.
Listen, thank you for being here, man.
I can't thank you enough.
Really,
I really appreciate this. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, brother.
No, nothing. I'm just saying I had a great fucking time talking to you.
Yeah. This has been therapeutic for me. More importantly, because I needed to vent, because no one's been able to give me an outlet. Especially no one this big has given me an opportunity to talk to so many people, and I wish I could have done this totally different now.
Perfect.
Nah, I'm just keeping it, you know.
This is perfect.
I started out a little, you know, tripping up, but it's all good, champ. You know, this is a moment for me in life, because forget the past. I don't even remember shit. I got some type of damage. I don't even care and remember this shit. This moment right now is the moment, man. I'm in the moment, man. I'm in the moment. And I appreciate it because it means a lot to me, man, because I was flat. Nobody wanted to give me nothing. Nobody gave me a shot. I couldn't get a T-shirt. I called Everlast and said, man, let me get a T-shirt. They said, don't call back, man. Don't call here with that shit, Shannon. I couldn't get nothing from nobody, man. I don't want nothing from nobody. You know what I'm saying? All I want to do is be successful, you know, have something for my family when I'm gone, you know what I'm saying, so they don't have to suffer the way I did, and I want to make people laugh and make people have fun and be leave my fights and say, man, he did it, then I'm going to do it again. That's another thing. Before I go, I want to say this. I want to fight a lot. I want the heavyweight championship fight 3, 4, 5 times a year. I don't believe in this fight 2 years. He should fight every six weeks, the heavyweight champion. Yes. That's what should be happening, and that's what I want to be. I want to be an active campaign. Now, I'll give that to Wilder. They did keep him busy before he hurt his arm. They kept him busy. But that's how you're supposed to fight the game. Be busy, have fun, bring more people to the sport, and then walk away.
Follow this man on Instagram. It will make your life happier.
Let's go, Jack.
Give people the address. Give people the Instagram address.
My Instagram is Cannon_Briggs. Let's go. You know, that's my Instagram. And my Facebook is what, Shannon Briggs? Shannon Briggs.
And then Twitter is The Cannon?
The Cannon Briggs on Twitter, man. And my website is letsgochamp.com.
Letsgochamp.com.
Yeah, buy a T-shirt, man. I'm on my own, champ. I appreciate y'all. I'm not, you know, using the money for nothing. That's for you, champ. That's for you.
I'm wearing this.
You know what I mean? Shout out to my baby girl, Chloe, Moo Moo Fat, Chan and Kaden, and my wife, Alana. I love you, babe. Shout out to everybody. If you don't mind me giving shout outs,
Shout out.
Chris Lawrence, Chris Jr., Stacy, Amir, Iman, everybody from Brooklyn, Brownsville. I love y'all around the world. LA, Compton, Watts. Oh, everybody, my man, Paolo out there, Jamal, Jameezy, everybody in the crew. I mean, so many to thank, but I really want to thank you because, bro, I made it. I made it again. I made it before, but I made it again. This is a sign that I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Thank you, everybody. That was beautiful.
Thank you, champ. You're the best ever.
That was fun, man.
Please shake your hand. Please.
That was fun.